You know what I like about Sarah Herrera?
Well, there's so many things.
There's a lot to like about Sarah Herrera. You know, she's the consummate professional. You know that.
Yeah, she is.
I like a person whose first name and last name rhyme.
Kill Bill.
I'm a fan of that. I think you can't do... If you can do
Judy
better...
Judy Doody? Told you about that.
If you had married Howdy Doody, your name would be Judy Doody, and that'd be great. But I think Jack Black is a good example of a celebrity with a rhyming name. The great Harry Carey. There's a long tradition of people whose names rhyme, and I think Sarah Herrera deserves a place on that list.
There's Biff Spliff.
Biff Spliff is not a real person.
Name, isn't it? Sarah Herrera?
Yeah.
Because it's a little tricky, but it rhymes.
Well, that doesn't happen by accident. That's Mr. Herrera sitting down with Mrs. Herrera, and I'm guessing some members of the city council, and saying to themselves, let's pick a name that is nice and rhymes, and we'll run with it. And they did.
You know what my favorite name, and it's another reporter in the city, doesn't work here. Bob Roberts.
Bob Roberts is a good name.
Bob Roberts. Why not just Robert Roberts?
Because it will.
Well, it is Robert.
It would be Robert Roberts.
Yeah.
Ray Rayner. How about Ray Rayner?
Ray Rayner. There's another
same kind of thing. I have a friend, Sam Samuelson, whose birthday is today.
Sam Sam.
That's his rapper name. He's one of my many friends from the world of rap. All right, welcome to the show. It's me again, and I get again.
You sound much better.
Do I though? I don't know if you look better, or I know you don't feel better, but you actually sound better.
No, you were losing it towards the end of the show yesterday. I didn't think you'd be here.
I had to make a phone call yesterday in the car on the way home. Something having to do with Christmas, and I needed to talk to my cousin to set some things up for Christmas. And midway through the phone call, my voice just absolutely stopped. Like, I was making the motion of talking.
Your lips were moving, but no sound was coming out of them.
Words would not come out. And I'm guessing most people now have the ability to talk. I have a hands-free device, like a Bluetooth. So you have to talk. You have to project a little bit louder to be heard on the Bluetooth. Mm-hmm. It's like, have you ever had that nightmare where you're screaming and no words come out? That was my conversation with my cousin, Jeff. Not Jeff Leff, because then he would have been in with Sarah Herrera. He has a different last
name. Jeff Leff.
So was
Jeff going, hello? Hello?
He said to me at some point, he goes, are you still there,
do
right?
Do I need to call 911? Or 311?
I couldn't be missing in my own car. How could that possibly be? I took the advice of ABC newsman Alex Stone. We talked to Alex Stone yesterday.
He is a professional, and I think he knows his stuff when
it comes.
He does
know his stuff, Judy.
To colds.
Alex Stone knows his stuff.
He didn't even hesitate.
He said to me, because he heard what I sound like, and he said to me, and then, by the way, as a side note, he then donated $500 to a charity in my name because he felt so bad for me. He said, try this stuff called Throat Coat. What he didn't tell me is it's not available anywhere.
Really?
Well, it's a tea, right?
It is a tea.
Yeah, I've had that.
But where did you get it? How did you find it?
Mail order?
No, I mean...
I went to Walgreens. They didn't have it. I went to CVS. They didn't have it. I went to Osco.
Isn't that so frustrating?
They didn't
have
it.
When you need something so badly.
Ugh.
So where did you find it?
I went online.
Mexico?
I had to go to Guadalajara.
Why didn't you just have Terry get it? She apparently can get good drugs.
I know. I went online to find it. I had never heard of it until yesterday. I didn't know such a thing existed. Walmart has it. But now here's the problem with Walmart, if you wouldn't mind me. Just a quick vent, and then we'll go down with the show. Walmart is vast. It's like a town now.
Mega.
Everyone I talked to in Walmart sent me to another place. Ugh. At some point I go, I know it's not in the automotive department. There's no way in the world that a tea remedy is in the automotive
department. They're like, yes, it is. Uh-huh.
It is.
Yeah, it's there.
Aisle 603. It's right there on the left. Somebody finally found it for me. I guess I sound better than yesterday, but I'm still operating at about 35-40%.
It still hurts, huh?
Yeah, it does. It's really painful. And,
well, I think if you went to the doctor, they would say, don't try not to talk.
Right.
I'm thinking that's what they would say. But
I don't think it would
like,
affect the show at
try
all.
Try to talk.
Well, it's tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because
well,
I know
you
best.
Start off strong. You did that yesterday, and then we'll see how you are by your
Oh, Las Vegas
two.
Has an over and under as to when my voice will just finally
you
just
know what?
Give
the newsroom
out.
Has one. Don't kid yourself. Yeah.
Good. I don't blame them. Luckily, on today's show, there's a whole bunch of guests. Karen Bark, who I've known for many, many years, very funny stand-up and a frequent guest on the show. She'll be with us at 10:35. Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD will be by at 11:05. This is cool. This happens every year. They change some of the laws in the state of Illinois. There's a bunch of driving laws that are being changed for 2016. Stuff I had no idea was going to be different.
Most people don't know. That's a great story. We try to tell it over and over because people are shocked when they get pulled over for something that they didn't know was illegal.
Some big news in terms of driving laws. That happens at 1:35. And then Dr. Julie Morita, who we've had on the show a bunch of times, who really, what better timing with me kind of sick? Because she
Is
knows
that why you're having her on?
Yeah. I just don't want to go see
move.
A doctor.
Good move.
Let's book a doctor. She'll know what to do. She will be on to talk about vaping. You know what vaping is?
Yes, I do.
This is the new kind of smoking.
There are so many vape shops, vaporizing places.
Are they called vaporizers?
It just says, come vape.
So we don't know yet if they're safe or if they're as dangerous or nearly as dangerous as smoking. We have no idea. Can I selfishly take a phone call or two? This won't take long. This
it's
won't
your
take
show.
Long. It won't take long. Kim? Hey, Kim?
Yes, it's me.
Hi. You wanted to help out, didn't you?
Oh, my God. I was heartbroken for you.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. That's very kind.
I learned this years ago. I'm a singer. That's my job.
Yeah.
So if I can't sing, if my throat is bad, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
Whatever. So
schlonged, as Donald Trump would say.
You're schlonged, man.
Yep.
Don't get me started on that, man.
Please. All right.
Okay, so hot water.
Hot
apple
water.
Apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar.
Either honey or Truvia or some sort of sweetener. You'll think originally that you are drinking Easter egg coloring, but it is the most soothing thing. Don't use lemon. Lemon is drying.
Oh, no. I've been using tons of lemon. That's bad for you?
Oh, no. Huge bad idea. Bad idea.
Yes on the honey, no on the lemon.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. And silence. Don't even move your lips. If you are whispering, that actually puts more strain on your vocal cords than talking quietly.
Really?
Where to
Kim,
God, my
Kim, you know what Bill does for a living, right?
I know. It's impossible. Let me tell you, I was a singer on a cruise ship for years, many years ago.
Yeah.
And I got this throat issue, and I was ordered for 10 days of absolute silence.
Mm-hmm.
Try being a singer on a ship with silence. And also being
impossible. Yeah. You can't do it.
It's absolutely impossible. So your vocal cords slam together when you're talking. You need to take a day or two off.
All right. Well, that's coming. I got a whole week coming off.
Yeah.
So
can you sing there? Can you sing a little Merry Christmas to us?
Could you sing a little?
Happy holidays, happy holidays, while the merry bells keep ringing. Why did that song pop?
Kim, that was great.
I don't know, Julie, the cruise director, but you're good.
That was fantastic. Wow.
Thank you. It's the apple cider vinegar, baby. I'm telling you.
I will try that later today. I promise.
All right,
thank you so much.
Love
Have
you.
A great holiday.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks.
All right.
I love that, Kim.
Yesterday,
I love anyone who says babe.
Right.
Yo, babe.
Me too. Yesterday, dozens and dozens of people with various remedies. Some called in, some texted in. I got a bunch of emails. Try this. I'm doing all the ones I'm supposed to be doing. It sounds better than yesterday,
Bill,
but it's
nothing
still...
is going to work until you stop talking.
I know.
But you're going to talk until 3 o'clock.
Until
3
o'clock,
right,
and then I will not talk again until 2016.
Talk. It'll be a very Merry Christmas at your
for
household.
For my family? It will be.
Right?
It's us. It's Bill.
You know
left.
What? Yeah. Terry, Merry Christmas from me.
Yep, that's your gift. That's your gift to her. All right, Judy Pilak is sitting in for Wendy. I'm trying to sit in for myself. We can be reached at 312-981-7200. Stick around, more show ahead. Bill and Judy on WGN. Judy, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and it's Judy Pilak, and you can call us anytime during the show at 312-981-7200. Judy, do you feel bad for Steve Harvey?
I do.
You do feel bad because?
Well, yeah, because I think it was obviously an honest mistake, although I think there are some conspiracy theories.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories, and a lot of people are saying that the reason Steve Harvey, and for people who don't know, at the Miss Universe pageant, which was held in Las Vegas on Sunday, Steve Harvey announced that the winner of the Miss Universe pageant was Miss Columbia, when in reality, it was Miss the Philippines. Miss the Philippines should have been.
No, he didn't even say Miss.
He
it
just
was,
said
it
Philippines.
It was Philippine.
Right.
The winner was Philippine.
Right. I think
he's not very good with words.
He was so shell-shocked by what went on. He had some problems at the end. I would have thought after this that he would have lost his job as the host of the Miss Universe pageant, because the most important role when hosting a show, actually there's two important roles, keep the show moving, keep it as light and fun and airy as you possibly can, considering what it is, and then at the end announce whoever the winner is.
Announce the actual winner.
The correct winner would be imperative to making the show a success. When he announced the wrong winner, And all that's been made of it in the days that have followed, I thought to myself, well, now Steve Harvey is never going to be asked to ever host anything again. He's got a talk show that's very, very successful, and he's an author, and he's doing fine. He's got don't worry about Steve Harvey. He's got some money coming in. But I thought, he's done as far as the Miss Universe pageant goes. Quite the opposite. They're standing behind him all the way. Here's a story out of Yahoo. Everyone makes mistakes, even though Steve Harvey made a major blunder. Who was my dad's commanding officer in the war, by the way? Major blunder.
Oh, he was harsh.
Oh, the worst. When he announced the wrong winner during the Miss Universe telecast on Sunday, he's welcome to host the show again next year. Mark Shapiro, the chief content officer at the WME Imaging Group, that's the company that owns the Miss Universe organization, told the Jim Rohn show.
Paid a record amount for it.
Paid him a lot of money.
No, they paid a record amount for the Miss Universe.
A ton of money, right?
Well, according to Donald Trump, it was a record amount.
Right.
I don't know what it was, but it was a record amount.
Everything.
It was the most anyone could have ever gotten in the world or universe.
In the universe, not just the world,
dude.
The whole universe. Mark Shapiro says that he would, and I quote here, he would love to have the Family Feud host back again next year. And when I say Family Feud host, I mean Steve Harvey, not the late Richard Dawson. That would be awkward. He was funny. He was informative. He's high energy. He's got a great following.
Did he add in there he was wrong?
No. He left out, I think, a key ingredient in that recipe, which is he announced the wrong winner. That would be when you go to host school. That's the first thing they teach you on day one,
right?
Is when the envelope comes with the winner, announce the right person.
And I mean, I think it's pretty standard in beauty pageants now that it's always the first runner-up.
Yes.
It's always the first runner-up.
Well, they've said, this is fairly well documented, I saw it in a couple of sources, they said that at a dress rehearsal, either Friday or Saturday, I don't remember which, that he had to leave early, that he couldn't stay for the whole dress rehearsal.
Right before they said that, right?
Right before.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's just an excuse somebody at the pageant made. It kind of makes sense, I guess.
And let me just ask you, that his job is being a host, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That's what he does.
Mm-hmm, that's what he does.
That's what he does.
I love that executive you were quoting. The world forgives, the world forgets.
I can't forgive or forget, not with the Miss Universe pageant.
The next time, and he's going to host, obviously. Yeah, what are we going to all be waiting for?
Well,
we're going to be hanging on every word.
Well, all right. So it's funny you say that, because that's exactly what I was going to ask you. It's very similar to Ricky Gervais hosting the Golden Globe Awards, is that part of the fun of watching the show is he going to do something or say something that's going to be problematic for anybody? So now the Miss Universe pageant, which was just barely a blip on anybody's radar, everybody's been talking about it for 3 days now.
Right.
Is this a reason for anybody to watch now to see if he'll announce the wrong winner again?
And hence the conspiracy theory.
Right.
Which now makes some sick sense now that you've been talking about it.
I know.
Because you're right. Nobody, I couldn't, I can't even believe it's still on. Remember, I didn't even really know how it worked.
Know.
Who gets in there? Because I said, remember, I'm done.
You don't want to watch it anymore.
No, I'm done. I'm not going to try out for it.
Oh, you're not.
I was going to, but forget it.
Not anymore.
But you're right. This publicity couldn't be better, Mr. Executive.
Do you remember years ago when Marissa Tomei won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for My Cousin Vinny?
Yes.
Now, they always, this has been going on forever with the Academy Awards and the Emmy Awards. They handicap them. They say, here's the favorite, here's the second favorite, here's the third favorite. Nobody gave Marissa Tomei any kind of a chance to win Best Supporting Actress for this movie. And then they called her name. She won. And ever since then, people go, somebody read the wrong name off of an envelope. She wouldn't have won that award. Somebody screwed up. Steve Harvey?
Really?
A young Steve Harvey?
That's not true, though, right? That's terrible. Because she really did win.
I think she legitimately won. But
there's always the question?
From that night until today, people are going, there's no way in the world Marissa Tomei won the Academy Award for My Cousin Vinny. It's impossible. And I don't remember who the competition was that year, but there were at least two other actresses that people went, well, it's either going to go to her or to her, not Marissa Tomei.
Okay, so what? The difference between Miss Universe and the Academy Awards is they knew she was wrong, but they're like, you know what? We're not going up there to say that was wrong.
Well, that's what people have said all along, is people have said they obviously called the wrong name, and at that point the Academy was so embarrassed that they didn't want to correct their mistake. But anything can happen.
Oh, that's hilarious. I've never heard that.
All right, so congratulations to Steve Harvey. He's coming back again next year as the Miss Universe host.
Mr. Harvey.
This is a tip for all you youngsters out there. You don't have to call out the right name.
Again, proving that the more you screw up, the more you move up.
Yep. That's what it proves.
Yeah, I've lived it my whole life.
Stick around.
And by
everybody.
The way, I don't screw up.
No,
that's
of course you don't.
At.
Of course you don't. It's Bill Leff and the non-screw-upable Judy Pilak in for Wendy Snyder. It's WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff along with Judy Pilak, who's in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. And also in studio, longtime friend of mine, longtime friend of the show, Karen Bark. Karen, of course, a writer, a comedian, a humorist, an essayist, a novelist, a playwright, performing not one but two shows that we'll talk about. Thanks for being here. Hold on. Let me turn your microphone on. People will hear you better.
It's so great to be here in this spring-like weather.
Yes. Can you believe it's the end of December and it's like this outside?
First of all, I've been walking around without a coat for the last few days. I did put on a coat today, but just like a spring coat. And
yeah.
Then I was like so hot. I'm shorting walking.
Are you going to do shorts soon?
Well,
if I haven't done shorts in a long time. If I see one more person in shorts, come on.
I do long shorts.
All right. It is
down to my ankles.
It's been a thing all this week as my wife and I have Christmas shopped. No matter where we've shopped, we've seen guys wearing shorts as if to say.
I can't see someone in shorts.
Yeah.
That's
take
weird.
That, weather.
Well, it's almost like ridiculous. Come on.
Yeah,
it is.
Because there's a fashion season thing. It doesn't matter what the weather is. You know, kind of like the white after. But you can wear winter white. But now you can wear spring white.
And it's a very subtle difference, Karen, between those shades of white.
It's a very subtle difference, yes. But there is
for those who can see it.
We say eggshell in the interior design business that I'm in. We say eggshell, but very subtle with the white. Two shows, The Jewish Mother's Guide to Everything. Now, that's going to be on Christmas Eve at 7:30 at the Skokie Theater in Skokie. And then Funny Old Broads, a longtime hit. That's on New Year's Eve at 8:30 at the same theater, the Skokie Theater. You're just one woman. How can you do all these shows, Karen?
Well, I don't know. I eat a lot. But now my show Christmas Eve, I have an opening act.
Yeah.
Dashy.
This is one of your kids.
Yeah, my daughter she used to sing with the 17-piece big band.
Yeah.
And on the piano, I have the wonderful Fred Simon. I don't know if you know who he is. He used to be in Simon and Garfunkel. He's like he's fantastic. And she's also playing the saxophone, because she used to play saxophone with the band, too. And they're fantastic. They opened for me a few years ago before I started the Funny Old Broads. I did a Christmas Eve there, and they opened for me, and it was fantastic. And she's very funny too. She's a graduate of Second City also. So it's going to be really wonderful.
Is there any extra pressure on her or on you? All of a sudden, you're not just doing a show. You're doing a show with a family member. Is that a little extra to think about?
I don't think so.
You're not nervous for her?
No. Oh, God, no.
No?
Is she nervous for you, do you think?
Oh, no. I mean, they grew up with me performing. It's like, you know, it's like nothing for them. No, it's not a big deal. I mean, she's performed a lot. And it was like I said, do whatever you want, you know. And I don't know. I did hear them rehearsing yesterday for a few minutes.
Yeah.
They shut the door.
Oh.
And I just know she'll, like, surprise me, and it'll be great. And her patter is wonderful between. And
that's great.
And I saw what she's going to wear. She's so gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I'm a little concerned because I can't sing. She's got a beautiful voice. She's blonde hair and green eyes. And Steve Harvey was working in the delivery room.
Was? I'm not sure that's a good thing or a bad thing.
So I'm a little concerned.
You should be. Now, is there extra extra pressure with the other kids? Do they feel any jealousy that you're doing a show with her and not with them?
No, no. My other daughter has a beautiful singing voice also. And, of course, Fred has a beautiful voice, and my son, we don't know if he can sing. We've never heard him talk.
Oh,
so,
how about that?
he keeps to himself. Everybody, I think, but me can sing. Although I've been doing musicals now. You know I do this.
I do know that.
And we're starting it again. We do this.
Okay, so you can't
musical.
Sing, but you're doing a musical.
Well, they give me, like, talkie, you know.
You're the talkie in the musical.
Yeah. It's a Purim spiel. It's done on a professional level and a big thing. I told you about this.
Yeah.
So every year they do a takeoff of some story, and it's the story of Esther, which, if you know this.
The Old Testament.
So anyway, sort of, yeah. And so anyway, last year it was Little Orphan Esther, and my husband, who's got a fabulous voice, was the Daddy Warbucks character, and he actually shaved his head for the start. They didn't ask him to.
He just wanted to.
He wanted to. And then he kept it shaved for a long time because women started to really like that.
Isn't that something?
He was getting a hit on a lot.
Wow.
So were you like, grow your hair back?
No, I didn't care. he felt great. He loved it, you know. He did grow it back now. And this year it's going to be the Queen and I.
Yeah.
With the King and I. He's actually playing Queen Esther.
Oh.
Jester.
That'll be interesting.
It's very fun. That's in March.
That's great.
Maybe we'll
That's very
come
good.
On and talk about it.
Karen, we turn to you for all things Jewish and Yiddish. You're
yeah.
our expert. Donald Trump said the other day,
yeah.
he used a term yeah. that you don't usually hear your presidential candidates say.
You don't. No, they don't usually even, yeah,
speak Yiddish. You know what I'm referring
yeah.
to then?
Yeah, I think he used it wrong. I've never heard it used like that. I mean, it's the, you know, it's the male member.
Right.
Are you sure? Because he's never wrong.
Well, there may be some new uses for it that I don't know about.
Are we allowed? We said it yesterday. I don't know that we're allowed.
You have
allowed.
To be careful because, you know, I did a commercial last year that they
I remember.
Edited because I used a Yiddish word that they thought was a bad word. And
right.
It wasn't a bad word. And I wound up doing a bit about it in the theater because I talked about it and everybody knew, you know, but they were, the powers that be here, they thought it was something bad.
Something
yeah.
dangerous.
Well, I think it's an inappropriate word, but he said it, and I, as a news person, can repeat it. I don't know about you, Bill.
Go on. You're a news person.
Yeah. Have you ever been schlonged?
Judy, you can't say that.
Are you asking me?
You can't say that.
I've never heard it used like that. That you know.
And today he's defending it.
What does he say today?
He says it's not inappropriate.
That it's okay to
it's
say.
It's an okay word.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, but.
And everyone Whatever. Loves him. Whoever made up that word loves him, so it doesn't matter.
When he's president, he can put it on currency. He'll have that option.
Now, I brought some things to show you because I know Bill's great with trivia and old things. You know, every time I watch an old show or something. In fact, last night, Fred and I were watching on YouTube, watching Tinky Wink and Me. Tinky Dink and Me. You don't know that one? The show where you'd put the screen on the TV
no.
and you draw?
Winky Dink.
Winky Dink.
Right, 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 right.
And you know who that was the voice of Winky Dink, I think? Sounded exactly...
Who was
Betty
it?
Boop. That was...
Mae Questel.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mae Questel is the
so
voice.
Okay, so now, here is a painting of me when I was very... When I was in my 20s.
And hold it up to the microphone so everyone can see it.
It was done by... Here the name, the artist's name is Shawley.
Oh, who would that be? No, who is Shawley?
Joan Shawley.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
Well, I put her obituary in. She was a friend of mine. I lived in L.A. But the obituary is wrong. They said that she was on the Dick Van Dyke Show as Peaches.
No, that's Buddy Sorrell's wife.
She was Pickles.
Right.
Yeah, she was Pickles.
Right.
She used to paint, and she was in all the Billy Wilder
films. Oh, I do know who that is.
Yeah, you know who she is.
Yeah.
So she was in all the Billy Wilder films, and she, well, especially Some Like It Hot. She
yeah.
was Sue, and she would paint on the set, and everybody, including Billy Wilder and Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis, have paintings by her.
Yeah.
And as a Christmas gift for me.
She painted you.
Yeah. We were
it's
good
beautiful.
Friends. And it, you knew me right after this. It does. She did capture. If
yeah,
you
the the feeling of you is there.
In my 20s. You know,
yeah.
That was a long time ago. So I brought that to show you because I always thought you'd appreciate
Wait,
that.
Wait, don't show anything else. Wait, hold on. We have to break for commercial. We'll come back. Karen has more things to show us. I know it's radio, but we'll sell it. You'll understand what she's showing us.
You can see it on WGNradio.com.
Yeah, it's all going to be there. Mm-hmm. And then we lost somebody that means a lot to you and to me and maybe to the listeners, too. And we'll discuss that in a little bit, too. So stick around. It's Bill Laff and Judy Pilak, along with Karen Bark on WGN. It's Bill Laff and Judy Pilak, who's sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back in 2016.
Karen, I'll see her next year.
You'll see her next year. Karen Bark is here, writer, comedian, humorist, essayist, novelist, playwright. Is that all, Karen? That's all? I have been on the internet.
Or you've been speaking to my mom. She's in Florida right now.
Would it hurt you to call your mom every once in a while? She's got not one but two shows. The Jewish Mother's Guide to Everything. That's on Christmas Eve at the Skokie Theater. That's the 7:30 first pitch. And then Funny Old Broads, which has been playing for how many years now?
Yeah, we opened it in 2013.
Yeah.
So this is our third New Year's Eve, I believe, right? Yeah. Our third New And it's a great show.
People love it.
And it features the... Boomer Babes, who are so hysterical, and they're fabulous singers, but they do hysterical parodies.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one of them, Pam Peterson, her parody of Memories on YouTube went viral, and it had like over 6.5 million hits.
What?
Yeah, it's
really?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Somebody told me that once you get past a million hits on YouTube, that YouTube starts paying you. Is that true? Did
no,
she make money?
No, I don't
money?
Believe that. No, but
she
did get a lot of work after that happened. She got a lot of calls. No,
right.
they don't.
Then I'm going to stop
That's
putting...
Steve Harvey, stop.
I'm going to stop
Not
putting
true.
Funny hats on cats, because I thought if you get a million hits, you get money.
I did take pictures. I did that this year. My husband was very upset.
Let me
Why
tell people how do they get tickets. Can I explain the ticket situation?
Tickets.
SkokieTheater.com has tickets for you, or 847-677-7761, or your own website, KarenBark.com.
Actually, it's not really on my website.
Oh, it's not?
I forgot to have someone put it up. So just go to SkokieTheater.com, and that's theater spelled T-R-E. Com,
oh, the nice way. Oh, for rich people.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And it's so convenient. There's free parking. There's great restaurants downtown.
Yes,
Skokie
there is.
Now. It's really fabulous.
Yep.
It's so easy. You don't have to come downtown. You don't have to fight the traffic. You get great entertainment. It starts at 8:30. You know, if you need to be asleep by midnight, you can.
You can doze off around midnight.
No,
that's
we'll be
fine.
Gone way before midnight.
Good. I hope so. I know what a big All My Children fan you are.
I know.
And I was. Are you an All My Children fan
yeah,
at all? All right.
I know.
All through college.
A little over a month ago.
I know. I saw that. I did think of you, actually.
We lost two characters, Adam and Stuart Chandler, the actor who played them, David Canary.
Yeah, David.
I always say Canary, but it's Canary.
Yeah, Canary. He was fantastic.
Wasn't
and he?
And
he also was on, well, he was, what was
he was on Bonanza.
Bonanza as Cookie, Smokey, yeah. What?
Cookie.
Cookie.
On Bonanza.
Are you sure it was Cookie? I think
yeah.
I had the name
It'd
wrong.
Be easy to be a cowboy and be named Cookie. Nobody would ever
clown,
make fun of you.
Cowboy, he could be in a rodeo.
He was a he was a clown cowboy on Bonanza.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Very handsome guy. And
looked the same for his entire 20-something years on All My Children.
Always,
never changed even a little bit.
Always looked the same.
I think that's the benefit of having prematurely gray or white hair is, like Steve Martin, you look the same for 30 years. Like you.
Which is, you know what? That's true. People say, you know, people who let their hair go gray, and then everyone thinks, well, they look kind of old at 40. And then at 55, you're like, God, they have an age. And
yeah.
I, you know, so that's why I did the Funny Old Broads. I'm like, I'm not going to have to fight having to look young. We'll just call ourselves the Funny Old Broads and, you know.
But I told you, Karen, people complain because you guys are not that old. If I want to, when I hear the title, I go, these women are in the hundreds. I want to see women in the hundreds.
One of us is on Medicare. It's not me.
I did think you'd be a lot older.
Seriously?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Judy's disappointed.
You're a little bit young.
The funny part you nailed, the broads part you got down, but the old part, people are like, I don't know.
But
are
it's just
really?
A saying, but it, still, I don't know. I connotate that with that you would have been
Yeah,
older.
But you know what? I mean, if we're trying to be like,
And you're svelte and
yeah.
Well, but
nice
yeah, you could be at any
yeah.
age. I mean,
really?
I we work out together.
Yeah,
and
Karen and I work
you
out together.
You have a nice neck. So I was just
I've been working on that. Yeah. I've been working on that. I do a lot mm-hmm. of this stuff, and always imagine your chin on a shelf.
Yep, that's my favorite.
And sometimes I put it on the shelf because it does stretch it.
Wow,
that's my
right
favorite
now.
Christmas book for kids is The Chin on the Shelf. Have you ever read that?
It's by the way, I also brought you a little bit of treats.
Very uplifting.
Now, I know.
What did you bring?
Wendy would have loved these because last time I brought the Hebrew Bazooka Joes.
Yes.
So I brought these. These are my winnings from Mahjong. I've been getting into Mahjong. And when we play it in a public space, they don't let you gamble.
Could you be more
so
Jewish?
I'm getting into
Mahjong.
I'm hearing white noise right now.
I use chocolate gelt. But what you're going to love about this gelt. Is look at the name on it.
Let me see if I can read it. Hold on a
Here's
second.
For you, Judy.
It's
actually got a name on it.
It's Rabbi Wasser, what does it say?
Weissmandel. I have no idea who that is. I never noticed it.
But it's kosher. Thank goodness.
Kosher, yeah.
So I can eat it.
You can have it, Judy. You're safe.
Uh-huh.
Is this time of year, and I'm half Jewish, so
I know
half of this.
You eat half of that coin.
I'll eat half. Is this time of year difficult for people who are Jewish? Because there's so much. Christmas is everywhere. How do you handle that?
You know what? I'm enjoying it so much because the rush to shop for me is over. I gave my Hanukkah gifts. I mean, I give some gifts to people, but it's money gifts, so
yeah.
I don't have to, although now the stores are not crowded, I notice it's not good for retail, but
yeah.
Normally it's like, I don't have to worry about getting, what am I getting Aunt Martha? What, you know,
all the stress.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I don't, and I love the music,
mm-hmm.
and I love the movies, and, you know, I like eggnog.
You can love the season. It doesn't mean you have to dive into the religious pool.
No,
right?
I mean, I love Chinese New Year,
yeah.
You know? So to me, it's great, and I don't have that stress. Ugh, can you imagine? Like, what I can't understand, in all the old Christmas movies,
yeah.
They show them going out shopping for their Christmas gifts Christmas Eve.
Now,
right.
That's insane. I hate that.
You really don't do that.
No, you don't want to do that.
Well, that would be impossible.
But millions of people do it.
They do?
Oh,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. That's why you don't want to be one of those people.
And then all that effort to put up a tree. They put a tree up on Christmas Eve and all
right.
that effort for one night. I mean, then they keep it till spring, of course, but, you know.
You're not supposed
who've you been
to, but people do.
Well, we do something
and you know,
in the
we
fall.
We don't even take the lights down. We just leave those
no,
up all
I know.
Year,
like
too.
We do this holiday in the fall. It's a sukkah where we put a sukkah up at this shack in our backyard.
Explain.
And mine is still up till spring anyway.
What is
explain
that?
It's
Judy.
This holiday. It's very fun. And you put up this this shack and you eat in it in cold, damp weather and the occasional snowstorm.
Doesn't that sound like fun,
like
Judy?
An, in October.
Why?
Oh, it's like a festival of harvest. It's like the harvest festival. Yeah. And anyway,
Earl,
really,
you got the shack built yet for?
It's really fun.
The shack holiday.
It's like it's always the last one down. The snow is like it's hanging and it's falling down, and it's really fun though.
If you're a basketball fan, like Judy, it. You could put up Shaquille O'Neal. It still counts. You still get points for that.
Yeah. I'm saying Christmas is a little bit more fun than that.
Go see Karen Bark, everybody. You have two shows to see: The Jewish Mother's Guide to Everything. That's on Christmas Eve. Tomorrow night, that's a 7:30 start at the Skokie Theater, and then Funny Old Broads for more than 2 years now. People have been loving the show. It's at New Year's Eve, an 8:30 start, also at the Skokie Theater, skokietheater.com. Great to see you. What are you? Are you showing me a plate with Moshe Dayan's picture?
I know, I'm uncluttering and I found this, but I'm not going to get rid of it because it is a classic.
No,
I have no idea where I got
that.
You have
that.
Collector's plates of leaders from around the
well,
world?
Well, you love collector stuff.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I'm crazy for that
you
stuff.
You are such a Jewish mother, let me just say that.
Hall
come
of Fame.
Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve.
First ballot.
No,
Hall
I want to go
fame.
To the shack holiday. I want to eat in the shack.
I'll invite you.
What kind of food do you eat in the shack?
Oh, everything. Everything delicious.
Everything's so good.
The shack. This sounds so fun.
Karen, thank you. Have a great holiday.
Everyone have a great show. Christmas.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. More after this. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pylekin for Wendy and WGN. Steve, thanks very much. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pylekin sitting in for Wendy Snyder all this week. Wendy will be back in 2016. Judy, say what you always say.
I will see her next year.
Absolutely right. Hannah Stanley from Flavor HD is here. Dane is on the way. Hannah, first of all, thanks for spending an entire year with us and keeping us up to date on what's going on in the culinary world. We really appreciate that.
Well, the pleasure is all mine. And it's so nice to actually see Judy outside of the little picture screen.
Yeah, and
so
it's
great.
So nice to be here on a day that you have food. I'm so happy.
You brought in a chef. You brought in food. This is how life should be.
Yeah. It is exactly how life should be, especially when you work in this industry. And my apologies to Wendy. Because she'll be...
For missing out on food.
Oh, that's a shame.
We'll save her some.
Especially this gorgeousness.
Food holds up for a couple of weeks. You could put food in a drawer and just take it out whenever
she
you need
be
it, right?
Fine.
I'm eating all her food.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
You have nothing to worry about.
No.
Let's just quickly... I know we're not prepared for a year in review, but this year, 2015, was a fairly good year in terms of food and restaurants and things here in the city, wasn't it?
It was absolutely a good year. It was incredibly eventful. I mean, towards the beginning of the year, we had the James Beard Awards here in Chicago for the very first time, and they're coming back this next year. It really was a ton of food-centric activity. We had new food festivals, Wine and Food Fest here in Chicago, in addition to Chicago Gourmet. It really stepped up our game, Chicago-wise at least.
Yeah.
For being on the forefront.
Well, there was a time where you could debate whether or not Chicago was one of the best food cities in the country, if not the world. You can't even debate it anymore. It is.
Definitely up there in the country with New York, with San Francisco. I mean, just really elevated.
Yeah.
Completely.
No doubt about it. Who have you brought in with us?
Some random guy.
Just a random man.
Who said that he could bring food. He was like, look, I got some things, and I've got really cool stainless steel utensils.
Oh, they are awesome.
They're so great. I have Chef Steven from Intro has joined us.
Steven Galanders. Hi, Steven. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
And you are talking to us about Chinese New Year.
Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve.
And Chinese Christmas
New Year
Eve.
And all kinds of different stuff.
But yeah, close enough, right?
What have you brought us to sample today?
So for that specific menu on Christmas Eve, we are going to have our normal a la carte menu, which we run all the time, in tandem with a special Chinese Christmas Eve menu that we're going to be running.
So there it is.
These dishes are actually off of the normal menu, which again is going to be offered. The first one is the wilted kale salad. It's kind of a take on Mexican.
And for alert to Dave Ennett, there is kale in the studio.
Dave Ennett, who does sports on the morning show and at the rest of the station,
loves
is
kale.
Kale's biggest fan.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and, I love kale.
You can't go wrong. How did kale become, like a couple of years ago, a couple of people knew about it, but it was like a secret food, and now everybody's talking about it all day, every day. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, when I grew up, it was one of those things that you get like on the side of an omelet.
Yeah.
It kind of like hangs out, and it's kind of green.
It was a garnish.
Yeah, exactly. And then it just became, you know, superfoods, I think, became a big thing. And when people started talking about antioxidants and things that were extremely beneficial for your body.
Did kale get a new PR agent or something?
Because I guess.
They went with Michelle Malise. Yeah, she's incredible.
And I love the way you cut the kale.
Well, you know, that's the thing, is that a lot of times it's hard to eat. And I think part of the reason was it was just very bulky and quite difficult to consume.
Right.
So by cutting into these thin ribbons, then marinating in the dressing, it softens it and really makes it tender and kind of succulent.
Yeah.
As opposed to being really papery or like eating hay.
And with in the dressing has an acid to it.
Without question. There's vinegar as well as lemon juice in it.
And that's going to break down some of the fiber Absolutely. And make it easier to not only chew and get into your stomach, but then digest.
Right. I just had a bite of it, and I have to say, when I looked at it initially, it just looked way too healthy for my liking. But it really does have a lot of flavor. It's
definitely.
A good flavor.
There's a good amount of cheese on there, too. So.
Yeah. It is delicious. All
right, maybe that added to it.
I'm almost finished.
Wow, you did jump
and
in.
Are those sunflower seeds?
Those are actually pumpkin seeds.
Pumpkin seeds.
They're called pepitas in Spanish. And this is a very Mexican approach to doing a Caesar salad, where Caesar salad was actually invented in Tijuana. So this kind of reinforces its Mexican roots by really making it kind
so
of...
So technically
like,
it's a Caesar.
Cesar salad.
Ensalada, yeah.
Ensalada, Cesar.
Feliz Navidad, yeah.
Yes, so see.
See, there's nothing wrong, even though this is, we're looking at this as a Chinese dish primarily, bringing in other cultures, bringing in Mexican food, that's
really
perfectly allowed.
For yeah. Sure.
Dane has joined us, the other half of Flavor HD.
Well,
hello, Dane.
You mentioned some of the marketing plans, you know, whether it's like Big Kale, the lobby group that, that has worked so hard on this.
Yes.
Or having a new... a new marketing and a PR company, because as beef, it's what's for dinner has been so successful.
The other white meat,
bulky
pork.
And difficult to consume, was one of the things
right.
we probably missed those commercials.
Doesn't sell.
Kale.
It doesn't sell kale.
No, they were just in the middle of the night. They were all run of schedule. What is in the bowl? You brought
so
us
that
another.
Is a caramelized banana budino. So
what is a budino?
A budino is an Italian pudding, essentially.
Oh.
The only difference that you're going to have to a traditional American pudding is a little thicker. It's got a little more density to it.
Let me try that.
Yeah.
Is it more, it looks to be, I haven't had it yet, but it looks to be more custard consistency than pudding.
Certainly.
Right? Yeah.
So the bottom layer, if you actually want to scoop all the way to the bottom so you can get some of the caramelized banana, there's a bit of bananas foster layer.
Okay.
Force your hand, right? Topped with a vanilla custard. And the top is a banana coconut granola. No, but I like
Bill and I just looked at each other like we need to leave the studio.
Wow, is this good.
But you know, you can hear it actually, the little crunchies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The fun part about this dessert is really the textures of it.
It's the taste. But the textures really add. So what is in this? I mean, it is a pudding-ish.
Right.
Custard. So how would someone go about making something like this?
So you make a...
They would come to your restaurant,
right,
which is
exactly.
intro.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, you give us your money and then we'll give it to you. And that's how you make it.
All right. That's how free enterprise works, I guess. But something like this now, I don't know if... Is the portion this generous when you go into intro? Is this what you get when
for
you order
it? For the desserts in general, we want to make it more convivial.
Wow,
so
is that big?
Yeah,
I thought it was a bowl of oatmeal.
Yeah.
It was so huge.
Oh, it is big.
Let me say, the texture, it is true, because I would not normally like that pudding.
Right.
But those nuts on top just... Totally make
yeah, the granola
dish.
Really makes it fun.
Oh, and they cut the sweetness.
Without quite, and it's actually, mm-hmm. there's no sugar in the granola, and it's salted, so it really
yeah,
provides
the salt.
A real dimension.
I love the salt.
It is
yeah.
convivial, as you said, Stephen, and I'm going to look up convivial and see if that's true or not, but I think it is convivial.
I just Googled it, and there's a picture of this.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
And you know what? Donald Trump's going to use that word in slaughter tomorrow.
Stephen, if you were to order this at intro, and again, explain the name. What is the name of this that we're eating?
It's a banana budino.
Banana budino. You would get this for dessert?
Certainly.
Yeah, boy, is it good!
It's like a dessert, a breakfast dessert.
Well, yeah, without question.
Yeah,
it has a very parfait feel.
And this is something that's available on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
At intro, one of the great things and the cool reasons we brought them in, especially on this day. And Bill, I know that you like to kind of experiment, push the envelope on seasonal and holiday eating,
uh-huh.
and what they're doing at intro. What's so cool about it is they have chefs of note that come in and do these residencies. And have specific kind of meal plans and things that they offer, which are really, really cool. Specifically to, you know, coming up to Christmas Eve, you guys are doing a Chinese Christmas Eve, which I thought would be awesome. It's going to be at intro, and we'll talk about that with Chef Galantis.
And it's on our actual Christmas tomorrow, then.
That's correct.
It is. Wow. It happened fast.
Such a nice thing to do also, so you don't have to stress. You can just go and have a nice, lovely dinner with your family and friends. And then have all the hubbub break out the next morning.
I hear Chinese Christmas Eve, I think of Christmas Story immediately.
That's a lot of the thing, though, is that, you know, a lot of restaurants, they do the seven fishes, the Feast of Seven Fishes.
Yeah.
It's kind of an Italian-American tradition. But a lot of people do it. No one really does kind of the Jewish-American tradition of the only restaurants being open on
Christmas
Eve being
Chinese
restaurants.
Right.
Yeah.
So we figured, like, why not just embrace that and do, like, an elevated Chinese Christmas Eve menu?
Boy,
unfortunately, the duck didn't make it in the cab ride.
No Pekin duck?
So,
what is being served?
So we are doing a whole roasted duck.
Okay.
It's going to be Northern Chinese-inspired, so a little bit of Sichuan flavors. And they're going to have their own little accoutrement, like little steamed buns and some pickles and so on and so forth.
Mm.
We're doing a foie gras fried rice. which is more difficult.
Very controversial.
Yes.
Very controversial.
But sounds delicious.
And good.
So we lost Charlie Trotter, so it's not like it used to be.
Right. Yeah. We're happy just to call it fried rice and not say that this foie gras just go down that path.
With a mystery ingredient. Right, just put a question mark in the ingredients. Yeah. I don't know.
Creamier.
All right, let's take a quick break. Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD are here, as well as Chef Stephen Galanders from Intro. Where is Intro again, Stephen? Where
it's
can people
2300 North Lincoln Park West.
2300 North Lincoln Park West.
So easy.
Very, very good. Easy to find. Delicious food. We'll be back and cover more next. It's Bill F. along with Judy Pilek and for Wendy on WGN. Judy, thanks so much. It's Bill F. It's Judy Pilek sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back next week. Hannah and Dane from Flavor HD are here, as well as Chef Stephen Galanders from the restaurant Intro. Incredible food, unbelievable desserts. I just said one of the best desserts I've ever had in my life. So good.
Because it's not too sweet.
Right.
That's what's great
about
it.
It's actually salty.
Yeah, there's that too. There's a nice balance of all the elements.
Yep. Stephen, again, the address, if people want to go to Intro, and there's a very special event tomorrow night for Chinese Christmas Eve, but where can they find Intro?
It is at 2300 North Lincoln Park West.
Excellent.
And reservations are at introchicago.com. And here's one of the things that's really cool about Intro is you have these acclaimed chefs that come in from all over the country. They do these residencies. Chef Stephen will be there till the end of January. And then you've got really cool event things like the Chinese, but it's also a value like Chinese Christmas Eve. And of course, we talked off the air. Judy's known as the goodbye girl.
Yep.
And so she wants a value. She demands a value. And this is going to be somewhere around the $90 range. You can up it down, you know, get your own kind of add a little bit.
Wines, et cetera.
Take some things away that'll change that. But it is definitely approachable on the price side. Super affordable with what it is. And the food is second to none.
Yeah, it's so good. You're only going to be there till January?
At the end of January.
And then what happens to you?
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Oh. Yeah.
So that's why it's called Intro.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is that why? Tell us about that. That's such an interesting concept.
Right. Well, I was in New York for about the past 4.5 years. And
the city whose culinary scene I just ripped on. Yes.
Yeah, just a second ago.
The first opening I did.
Which is better, Stephen?
Yes. Chicago, of course. But
are our tastes a little bit different from East Coast tastes?
Question,
they are, right?
Yeah, and I actually think that Chicago is an amazing food city. I actually think it's easier to find a good meal in Chicago.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That's interesting, just because of the amount of competition?
I think that in New York you can have a good meal, but you have to really pay for it.
Mm.
And I feel like Chicago provides a much more thorough middle ground,
yeah,
that you can really have a better meal,
yeah,
without having to shell out, you know, your mortgage for the month.
Right.
So. Oh, that's good, because I like to live
in a house.
Yeah.
Sleeping under a roof.
Shelter.
Yeah, no.
In this
climate, you really need some
so
shelter.
True.
So do chefs come through? How does that work?
So the plan was for us to leave New York and then to go to Los Angeles, open a restaurant. And one of my colleagues said, you know, you need to talk to Rich Melman. He's doing this thing called Intro. I heard about it, you know, through a couple of other things, with CJ being the inaugural chef.
Yeah.
And I did a tasting for Rich, and he, you know, gave me high fives and everything else. And so here we are now. But with everything that's been happening, I'm the fourth chef now. Everything that's been happening, we really love Chicago. So
yeah,
we're considering, you know, maybe planting our feet here.
Oh, good. Mm. I hope that happens. One dessert is never enough. You brought one and we had it and it was delicious, but we could go for a second. Is there a second dessert?
It just so happens there is a second dessert.
What?
Yeah. He bruleed.
The one that your finger's on?
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
He bruleed in the green room. I witnessed it.
Oh. I did.
I'm not sure what that means. Are we going to have to call in a cleaning lady? What happened?
No, it is. It's sugar, and then you brown it. You torch it until it crystallizes and
right,
sort
caramelizes
of it caramelizes and burns.
Yeah,
ish.
Yeah.
But if you have a creme brulee, it has that nice crusted top. What they do is they put a sugar coating on it, and they use a torch, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that was fun getting that torch to security this morning.
It,
like, what is that? I'm looking at a torch. I'm not
going to
lie to you.
I swear, it's a kitchen torch. Yeah.
Well, even saying it's a torch isn't always going to make the security feel more comfortable.
Oh, as long as it's a torch going through,
like,
you're fine.
Nuclear missile fine.
You're
like, I swear,
I was worried it was a blow dryer.
So how is this different from your traditional creme brulee? It's
a little
different.
Well, this is actually cheesecake.
It is.
And when we were talking about the cheesecake, we were saying we need it to be like a creme brulee. We want it to be like smooth and custardy. And then I realized, well, why not just finish it up, you know, make it a creme brulee cheesecake?
Oh. So when you leave Intro, do all these things that you've brought us today, do they leave with you or will they stay on the menu or
you
what?
You know, it depends. I don't like to think that I'm defined by my recipes. Yeah. So I'm very generous when it comes to people asking for things like that. And if this is something that they want to keep, then by all means, it's my pleasure to have it.
Bill, most for likely they'll leave with them.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah. I would.
Well, as it burn the recipes.
Torch them with your creme brulee torch.
Yeah, exactly. The sous chef goes with you.
Drop the mic, the torch. Yeah. That's kind of the concept is they come in, different chefs come in, they share kind of their vision for what it is. There's a lot of latitude and yeah. people really enjoy it, but it's for a set period of time so people can get in there and enjoy this chef while he's there. I think it's a really, really cool concept. And these two things, or these three things, you got the salad and you got the two desserts, are going to be there probably for the length of your residency, right?
Well,
right,
the chef? Seasonability of them is fine for
it's
right
current,
now.
Yeah.
It's appropriate. So there's no reason why we have to change them, and there's yeah. a tremendous following for a couple of these things. Some things will change, but these probably won't.
I love restaurants that change their menu up with some regularity. And I've never heard of this step of not just changing the menu, but also changing the chefs. That's
right.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Entirely.
Yeah, I've never heard
the
word residency.
Yeah.
As a chef.
Right. Right. Yeah, cool. This is the first time I've ever been a chef in residence.
How about awesome. This? You sound like a doctor.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, but put that on your resume because that really, people will be like, wow, yeah. they brought him in. That's fantastic.
That and then they can call you Dr. Chef.
So a limited time for everything that he's doing there, but tomorrow, very limited time for Chinese Christmas Eve. So let's go through the menu at least as much as you can share
sure.
now, and then we'll give out the information so people can get out there and join you.
Sounds good. So we're going to be doing a black truffle egg drop soup, which again, you know, is an elevated version of
yes,
what, you know, the standbys. We don't want to sell like a $3 soup by any means, but
no.
we also want to make it special. So we're going to have a nice like toupee of black truffles on top of that.
Mm.
We're going to have a whole roasted duck with northern Chinese spices mm. and like, you know, the Chinese accoutrement with a pickled cucumbers and the homemade steam buns and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And then we're also doing a foie gras fried rice.
Sure.
And then we're doing a play off a Chinese peanut cookie, and we're making a hazelnut cake.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
And we're trying
every
to
every part of that sounds good.
We're trying to make fortune cookies as well, like a black and white fortune cookie.
Yeah.
Oh,
kind of
yin and yang.
Tradition,
you're very
you know?
Good.
Yeah,
that's outstanding.
So,
are you going to hand write out all the fortunes?
Yeah, so we have to make sure that only certain staff members can do it.
And the edible ink. Yeah, that's
I can't
good.
Read it.
Yeah.
Well, it all sounds so good. The restaurant, again, is called Intro. We've been talking with the chef, Stephen Galanders. It's located at 2300 North Lincoln Park West. You can still make reservations. People can still get in,
yes,
correct?
Yes, they can.
All right.
IntroChicago.com. And just
correct.
To let people know, it's as affordable as can be for something like this.
Yeah.
Somewhere around $90 is where they're trying to keep it.
Hannah, we had talked to you about doing a Christmas recipe. We're down to 14 seconds, 13 seconds. Can
I'm
you do it
post,
quick or post it?
Our friend Mark Sievers, who we've had on the show with us
yeah.
before, has an incredible way to elevate a champagne toast for New Year's Eve. And basically, there's chocolate involved. So that's all I'm going to say. I will have that up at Flavor HD, at least our Facebook page, and I'll make sure that Kevin puts it up at the Bill and Wendy Facebook
Excellent.
Page as well.
Thanks, both of you, Hannah and Dane, for spending the year with us. It's always fun to talk to you. We
Thank
talk
you.
To you guys and always enjoy it. Stephen, great meeting you. The restaurant, again, is called Intro. Get your reservations now. It's at 2300 North Lincoln Park West. Give that web address again if people want to contact
IntroChicago.com.
Perfect.
Wonderful.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
A quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Hey, Ryan. Thanks so much. Judy Pilak is sitting in with me.
I'm in a food coma.
Are you, that seriously, I know that radio is a business of superlatives where you say things and you go, this is the best of this I've ever had. Were those two
you
desserts?
You licked your bowl.
I know.
Yeah. You
I did a scene from
it.
Oliver at the end. I said, please, sir, may I have some more? I want
and
more
he
desserts.
Took it away and just walked out.
Yep. Yep.
That was really, really good.
He was smart. He was smart. Intro is the name of the restaurant. Try it. That particular chef, Stephen, will only be there through January, and then they'll bring in a new chef, who I'm sure will also be fantastic. But boy, were those desserts good. Let me share a couple of quick texts with you. You can text us at any point during the show at 312-981-7200. The first text is, hey, Bill, this is from 224. You sound a lot like Sally from the Dick Van Dyke Show. Thank you for that. I do. And then Mark, another 260 texter, wants to know why I have not shared my eggnog pie recipe this year. I somehow forgot
Please
about
don't.
It.
Are you sounds not, terrible.
Are you not an eggnog person?
No. An eggnog pie is even worse.
If you liked eggnog. Now, if you don't like eggnog and you don't, this would be terrible for you. You would not. There would be no part of this that you would enjoy. But if you do like eggnog, the last couple years I've brought in this pie recipe. I'm not a cook. I don't bake things. but for some reason I figured this thing out a couple of years ago, and everybody I make it for, without question, when people eat it, they go, there's no way in the world you made this. You could not, you don't have it in you to make something this good. It's just that good. And then 2 years ago, I did a variation on it for people like you who don't like eggnog. I started doing Bailey's pie with Bailey's, the drink Bailey's, and that's really good. The
Is
problem,
it like a whipped pie?
A little bit. It's processed a little bit. I do use a whipper. Is that what it's called?
A whipper.
What's that called?
The beater?
Yeah, the beater.
Okay.
I use the beater. the problem with the
Baileys, things need to be beaten.
Some things do need to be beaten.
And usually sugar, confection sugar is one of them.
I don't know how to get the alcohol content out of the Bailey's pie. So what happens is after about a half a piece,
yum,
you start to see things that aren't there. It's still tasty, but I don't want to be responsible.
That you can't cook at all or
I can't
bake,
cook. But, I can barbecue all day long, but I can't.
But eggnog pie,
yeah,
which, blah, and Bailey's pie, okay, I'm kind of digging that.
You would, the Bailey's would be the one for you, mm-hmm, believe me. But the eggnog is good. If I have time, usually I bring the recipe in a couple days before Christmas. I just forgot somehow this year. So
you're
I'm sorry, Mark.
A lot of people.
I'm going to do my best to get you that before the end of the year. If not, next
Put
year's
it up
Christmas.
On the website.
We're just 367 days away from next
yeah,
Christmas.
Yeah, do it next year.
It's not a
you
problem.
Want to push everything off till next year.
One more year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people will appreciate it more.
I
You'll
think
see.
So.
All right. Some startling news from the world of retail. Actually, now that I say that, I don't know that this is startling.
Startling? What, just I think, same old, same old?
I think people knew this, Judy. I
well,
really do.
Women knew this.
It turns out that women are paying 42%. I'm going to read you the headline and I'll explain. Women's products are now priced, on average, 42% higher than men's products are. So a similar product, but because it goes to women instead of men, women are going to pay 42% more.
Why? I want someone to tell me why.
I don't understand
and
it.
You said now, but you mean just 42% is the new now because it's always been.
It has always been that
See,
way.
See, I'm expensive. An optimist. I think that that just means discounts for the men.
Not that
they're paying more, but we're
paying
less.
You know what?
Less.
That pisses me off more.
A quick example or two. This is not in the story. These are just ones that I know
that
about because
you know
I experienced these. When I bring clothes into a dry cleaner.
Yep, I knew it.
If it's my wife's clothes, we pay one price. If they're my clothes, we pay another price. It's the same washing process that goes in, the same drying right. process, the same
now,
everything.
Now, next time you go, I want you to go in with your wife's clothes and tell them that they're yours.
That they're for me.
Yeah, so those are my clothes. That's my dress. And see what they charge you. Because it'll be cheaper.
It would be cheaper. It would be.
It makes no sense.
Another
I mean,
one.
They're not bigger.
They're not bigger, but they're for not... some reason, we've accepted this for so long that it's just a given that you're going to pay more. Another one, and this isn't a clothing thing, but this is just haircuts. I know for a fact, I know what my wife pays for haircuts, and I know what I pay for haircuts. It's not even in the same ballpark.
Right. Now,
I know she has more hair than
right,
I do.
Maybe I can see that a little bit. More product, more maybe dye,
yeah.
you know, getting a part, whatever. Yeah. But still, yeah, it's ridiculous.
How did that become
a
thing?
Here's what my feel, and I wish a listener would call in and tell us, because someone's got to know.
Someone knows.
My feeling is the decisions are being made by men.
I would imagine, except that there's enough
because
businesses.
Let me give you an example.
All right.
Viagra.
Right.
Because I don't even want to start that argument, okay, but.
Speaking of things going up like prices.
Speaking of things just being who gets it first.
Right. Right. I know. But except that there's enough businesses owned by women that you would think at some point some woman somewhere would take a stand and say, enough of this. We're all paying the same.
Right. But what happens, I think?
What?
Well, I can make more money.
Oh, yeah.
Now
yeah,
it's
yeah.
an established practice. If,
yeah.
You know, you're, a female-owned business, you know, business owner. It's I hate to say it, but yeah, why wouldn't you? What are you going to charge? The fair price,
right?
Which is the man's price.
There's no room for that in
the
retail
man.
Business.
It's always the man.
It's always the man, Judy. Here's the story. It says researchers conducted a study to determine the price differences that male and female shoppers face when buying similar products. The Department of Consumer Affairs analyzed nearly 800 items and then compared the prices of men's and women's products. The study found that girls' toys, this shows that this goes all the way back to the early days of development.
Right.
Child's toys cost 7% more, girls' toys do, than boys' toys. Girls' clothing costs 4% more. I would have thought it was higher, but okay. Women's clothing costs 8% more than men's clothing. And female personal care products cost 13% more than men's personal care products. Can I tell you one that I know for a fact? And I, if you want to make fun of me for this, go ahead. My wife does all the time. The shaving cream that I use is women's shaving cream. There's a certain kind of brand of shaving cream that makes what my wife calls fruity flavors. And it's all like tropical punch flavored and stuff like that. But I like it better on my skin. I really do than men's shaving products. I pay so much more for that than I do for men's shaving cream.
For the aloe or whatever's in it.
It's the same exact product. Yeah. I look at the ingredients. I go, it's the same.
It just smells better.
I guess it smells a little bit better.
That's how they're fooling you.
But it's $1.80 more for the same size container, but it's the same. Why is that? What are they doing differently?
That's the whole point of this discussion. It is all the same, and we pay more.
It shouldn't be that way.
I know. And, you know, this was no schlep of a survey.
800 products.
Items. My God, that's a lot.
Researchers say in all but 5 of the 35 product categories that they analyzed, products for female consumers were priced higher than those for male consumers. 5 out of the 35. Across the entire sample, the study found that women's products cost more 42% of the time, while men's products only cost more 18% of the time. Then, of course, the math would show that the rest of it is pretty much even. All in all, the study suggests that women are paying thousands more over the course of their lives to purchase similar products.
Where are the congressional hearings?
Even Bic disposable razors. Like, I get the men's kind that are the yellow ones, but my wife uses the pink ones. Those are 75 or 80 cents more. The same amount of razors, the same sharpness.
Right.
How do they justify that?
I got to tell you, personal products, I buy a lot of men's stuff.
Do you?
Yeah.
Just because it's
just
cheaper?
Just because, right.
Yeah.
Actually, I just bought my daughter some Axe, is it? Is that the...
Is that the deodorant?
They make everything now, but they had shampoo. I'm like, all right. It was on sale. Cheap, of course.
Right.
Yeah. She smells like a boy a little bit, but whatever.
A small price to pay to save money.
A small price to pay, exactly. And I did pay a small price because it was a man's shampoo.
Oh, yeah,
and a
woman's. Let's get a call in or two really quickly. David may know something about this. David, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent. What do you know about this?
I mean, I understand about the differences between prices of guys' stuff and women's stuff. And we always hear that guys pay less for this and less for this and less for this. My question is, why hasn't anyone brought up the fact that guys pay more, or boys pay more for insurance? Not only when they're older, but they pay more when they're younger. Why couldn't that be some kind of class act of lawsuit for discriminating against age and gender?
Well, I know the answer to this. The answer to this is they use tables to look up probability, and guys get into accidents a lot more than women get into accidents.
More.
So they base
so
it on
much
that.
More. Yeah, that you would never win a class action lawsuit because the fact is, so many young boys get into accidents.
They can prove it. The numbers are there.
Right. What did I deserve to have my skirt cost more than your pants?
All right, so if I don't get into an accident, but my sister does...
Yeah.
Do I deserve to pay the price higher?
Well, you have to talk to your boyfriends because they're the ones who are jacking up the price.
They go on average, even though you yourself haven't gotten into an accident, they look at the national averages, and guys just get into a lot more accidents than girls do.
Yeah. And trust me, I hate paying that insurance for my boys. It's terrible, but that's why.
Does that help at all?
It makes sense, but it's still doesn't sound fair.
No, it's not fair. Nothing's
not fair. But at least there's some sense in it. When I look at this kind of study, I don't understand the sense. Like, is the fabric more expensive?
Right.
I don't think so. It's like almost all things being equal, and they just charge more.
Yep.
Oh, I agree on your point also. I mean, I totally agree. But, I mean, the world that we live, or the age that we live in now, where everyone wants to be equal for everything. Now they're allowed to go back on studies. It just, you know what? Let's make it even across the board on everything.
Interesting.
Pay
wages and everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Don't get me started on pay.
Don't get Judy started on pay, David. Don't do it. David, have a great holiday.
Thanks, David.
You too.
Thanks a lot. Are we getting schlonged, Mr. Trump? Is that what we're getting? Your thoughts on this, we're at 312-981-7200. As it turns out, in almost every case, The Department of Consumer Affairs, after analyzing 800 items, determined that women are paying more, and a lot more in some cases, for the same exact products than their male counterparts. Your thoughts on this? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak sitting in for Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. We are reading you. I guess this isn't that big of a surprise. I think I said earlier what a shocking revelation this was, but maybe it's not. It turns out that women, almost exclusively across the board, are paying a lot more money for basically the same products and services. We're trying to figure out why, and if you've had any instances, give us a call or a text. But the Department of Consumer Affairs analyzed nearly 800 items, compared them men's and women's products, almost identical products, and found out that women are paying 42% of the time more than men are. It doesn't seem fair. A lot of calls, a lot of texts. Let's go to the phones first. Andy, hi. What are your thoughts on this? Andy?
I was just going to say, I think with the amount of options that the women's products have, there's a lot more of them. I'm sure the research that goes into figuring out what they want and the product cost versus the advertising cost is probably where the change is.
Judy, do you think that has something to do with it?
Well, I guess on the other hand, though, you could say that's because they know where the money is and they want to make more money. So, of course, they're going to give you more options and you know, make it worth their while. I mean, you're not going to – if they know that they're going to get a cheaper price on a guy's item, well, why even bother?
Right.
Sure.
Although I have to say
okay,
this.
Okay, I'm trying not to be cynical, but I know I really am.
Here's what I've noticed, and I don't know, I have no idea if this is a men versus women's thing or this is just something that is going on in my family personally. My wife doesn't look at price tags when she's picking up an item. She just doesn't. She goes, I need one of these, and she puts it in the basket. Whereas I, every time, will go, okay, this one's $3.11. You know? I don't know if that's if all guys do that and women don't, but my wife just doesn't. Because I'll say, how much are those? I don't know how much those are. It's in the basket.
Yeah,
what do we need to know?
It
kind of seems like it's just because they're going to pay it. They're going to pay it.
Right.
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 And maybe they know that. Yeah, so.
Could be. Andy,
I look at every single price.
Well, you're the goodbye girl. Andy, thank you. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Hope you feel better, Bill.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. Take care. Let me get Bill's thoughts on this. Hello, Bill. You're on WGN.
How you doing?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was going to say that I have an online T-shirt business, and what I can tell you is that women's T-shirts, because it's a they have to do a special cut, will cost anywhere to $3 to $4 more than a men's shirt.
And why is that exactly? How come?
Because they have to hand cut it. They have to fit it. Because a woman's size is different than a men's. So I know for regular basic T-shirts, it's more money. I know when I buy T-shirts, it costs me, God, anywhere from $3 to $5 more for women's T-shirts.
Don't you think that's just outrageous, that amount of money?
It is, and especially when I can buy a men's 4 or 5X shirt, you know, $5 to $7 cheaper than a woman's 2 to 3X shirt. Yes, mm-hmm. It is. That's what they do because it has to. It's more labor intensive because they have to hand cut it to fit it. So that's basically why that cost goes up in that.
But I'm asking you. You say it's labor intensive, but really, that is it that much more? So you think it's justified by that price?
No, I mean, come on. We have a lot of things that are not justified, but it's big business. That's how it's run.
Bill, explain this to me then. As we were shopping the other day for Christmas gifts, somebody on my list is getting a sweater, and here's what I noticed. The person I'm getting it for takes a medium, but if you looked at the large or extra large or even the 2XL, where there's so much more material going into that sweater, it's the exact same price across the board. Why doesn't the clothing industry try to jack up those prices?
Well, I understand completely. It's what it is. When it comes down to a certain material, it doesn't make a difference what size it goes up to. It can go, you know, anything basically from small to extra large at a certain price. 2 to 6X is the same price. So explain that one. I don't understand.
That's weird.
It is. It's something that I have to battle all the time, but that's the way it is on that.
Can imagine. Well, Bill, thanks for the call. Have a good holiday.
You too.
All right. Let me a quick text or two. 630 says this: simply put, women's care products are priced higher because they are seen as a necessity. Do you buy that?
Yes.
Yeah, but stuff like we mentioned, shaving cream and stuff, you could eat, a guy could say that's a necessity. I need shaving cream every day to shave.
He could, and then some days he won't shave. A woman, I get that.
More
I
a
totally
necessity
get,
than
yeah.
a luxury?
Yeah. Well, and that women, yeah. I get it.
What about this? This is from Brian in the 847 area code. I have the reason that boys and men pay more. It's because boys and men tend to pay for dates most of the time. So this is our payback since women aren't paying for the date.
Oh, so it's punishment?
Right, it's punishment. Does that? Don't you?
You know what? We marry the guy. And
right.
What more do you want from us?
There's your punishment.
Priceless.
Right. All right. Thanks, everybody, for checking in on this. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll find out what Steve Bertrand has on today's Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak in for Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff, and it's Judy Pilak. Judy in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back next year, which
will
makes
she?
You say, wait,
will
well,
back?
Maybe she won't be now.
I mean,
you've
I'm
done,
available if she's not.
You've done a pretty good job, Judy. We even got a text a few days ago saying that.
Well,
somebody sent us a text.
I think it was from Wendy. She
it
has,
might have been.
Yeah, she's got some stuff on her desk I want to take, so I might, and then I won't be back. She scares me a little bit.
Oh, don't be scared.
You know what? I probably scare her more. So.
A little bit, she said on several occasions that you do. You found some news, and actually it was just reported in the news a little while ago. This is kind of frightening for anybody who lives here in Illinois, like us.
Yeah, like us. It's kind of frightening, but I don't know if it's that shocking. So new data released by the U.S. Census Bureau shows people are leaving the state of Illinois in huge numbers.
Where are they going? Do we know where they're going?
You know what? We don't know. It didn't say, but I can tell you that all the border states.
Yeah.
Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, Minnesota,
yeah.
Minnesota, they all have increased populations.
Their numbers are increasing. Mm-hmm. Our numbers are decreasing.
Yes.
My guess is, and I know David Jennings just mentioned it in the news, it has something to do with the tax base, doesn't it? It would have to.
It could, yeah. Because taxes are pretty high in Illinois.
We also, there's the issue of us not having a budget.
Right, so we don't have a lot of services right now.
Right.
Maybe none. No, we do have critical services, of course. But, you know, the whole budget thing is ridiculous because it's been months and months.
Yeah.
And we're still limping along.
No closer than we were a couple months ago.
No, maybe we will never have a budget.
So for somebody who's considering a move to somewhere in the Midwest, this state, which you would think would be one of the more attractive options, is turning out to be anything but that.
Right, because of the 50 states, Illinois was the top population loser.
Was it really out of all 50?
That's bad news. The next closest loser, West Virginia.
Now, what would be going on? I don't know enough about West Virginia to try to figure out.
I don't know either, but not a lot of people say I'm moving to West Virginia.
Nobody's saying take me home?
Nobody is.
Not anymore.
I don't know anyone who lives in West. I know there are people who live in West Virginia. I've seen pictures, but I don't know anybody who lives
there. You know what? Are we sure there is a West Virginia?
There may not
except
be.
Except in the song?
There may not be.
There's a mountain mama there. I know that.
Yeah, there is. Take me home. So what can we do about it? What do we need to do to fix this?
You're asking me?
Yeah.
If the legislature can't fix it, or the governor, or nah, I don't know.
Hawaiian and shirt Fridays, I think, would work.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? I think, I'm not sure, but I mean, Chicago is such a hot destination. I wonder if the population in Chicago is okay, because this is, of course, statewide. It's not really breaking it down where the loss is occurring.
I always think if I were visiting this state, if I lived somewhere else and I was visiting somebody here, I love the city, but I would fall in love with the city. If I had never been here, I'd think to myself, what do I have to do to live in this place?
How many
not
times
just Chicago,
do you hear
but
that?
All the time.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's all such a great, great town.
But
it
all
really
forecasts
is.
Are for the next couple of years that we're going to be surpassed as far as population goes by Houston. We will
Isn't
drop to number
something?
Four. Yeah, Houston, though, is massive. I mean,
Come
it is
on.
Just physically
it's
massive.
Sprawling. Yeah.
Houston will never be the second city.
Well, we're second
well,
city
we're technically
in,
the third city,
in
right?
name, yeah. right. But we are technically the third and soon to be fourth city. There's also the factor of we've had a little string of violence of late. You know, so that's going to play into it just mm-hmm. a bit. But it's too bad because this is such a great place. It's such an amazing place.
Well, and tourism is like record high.
Yeah, it is.
Here in Chicago. Yeah. So, you know, what does that say?
I don't know. We have commercials here, full disclosure, for a neighboring state, for Indiana, and they talk about problems like if you've got mm-hmm. a business in Illinois and the taxes are a problem, we're not that far away and we've got a lower tax
right.
base. I think those say a lot. You know, if you were a burgeoning business, if you were trying your best to make your business work and you were saying, well, I could be in Illinois or for a lot less money, I could be in a nearby state. You don't have to be a genius with money to figure out it's not
right,
a bad option.
Although I wonder, I mean, you don't hear people saying, oh, I'm going to move to Indiana.
Right.
Nothing against Indiana. People who live there love Indiana, but I don't know about that. Although I will say in this study, Indiana was one of the states that did gain population.
Is that right?
I believe, I'm trying to find it here, I can't, but I do recall seeing that I think Minnesota had the biggest jump.
There was a guy I used to work with, and this is an awful, awful indictment on his taste, but he moved from Illinois to Indiana, and when asked why, it was a two-word answer, cheaper smokes. You could get cigarettes for a lot
less. Did he know
less.
He could just drive and buy them there
you're
and come back?
You're allowed to cross
yeah.
state lines with cigarettes
and come back,
now.
Yeah. You don't need a visa or anything like
right.
that, a passport.
That's pretty much Whiting's economy right there.
I know, right?
Love you, Whiting, by the way.
It says it on their city stickers on the car.
It does, yeah.
Whiting, Indiana, cheaper smokes. Why would you go anywhere else? All right, a lot of phone calls. We're at 312-981-7200. We're trying to figure out, A, where are people going who live here? Why aren't they living here anymore? And, B, is this your better move to go to one of the neighboring states, to Iowa or Wisconsin or Indiana? Let's start out with Andy. He knows a little something about this. Hi, Andy.
Hey, guys. Your figures are right, but there's a ton of people going to Florida and Texas. I'm in real estate. I'm in 40, 45 homes every single month.
Yeah,
in suburban counties, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of people leaving. It's all because of taxes. We got the second highest real estate tax rate in the country.
Yeah,
and it's per capita the third highest taxes, and we've got a governor and and Madigan won't even show up for the meetings. Okay, and so nobody has any confidence in this government at all, and they just announced. What, 2 weeks ago? Illinois has got like over 7,000 taxing agencies, and the closest one to us is Texas, was 5,200.
Yeah.
They can't figure that out. It's incompetence is what it is. And there's going to be – they raise taxes again in this state. I'm leaving, okay?
But you know what? When you say people are moving to Florida, they're actually moving to Florida to live and work, not to retire?
Some of them to retire, but a lot of them to live and work in Arizona. And then when these retirees leave Illinois right now, I've done a number of big homes where retirees are leaving for warmer weather. Their families follow them now, okay? It used to be they go down there and they come back for Christmas and stuff like that, or in summertime when it's too hot down there. That doesn't happen as much anymore. Everybody's getting up and leaving. So every time they raise taxes in Illinois, people leave and they collect. What? Look at it. They collect less money. That's what they do.
Sure.
And they can't stop themselves. You know, total incompetence.
For people who don't understand, the trickle-down theory of that is for everybody who leaves, and we've got several texts saying that it's in the neighborhood of 35,000, that the state lost roughly 35,000 in 2015. So what happens to the tax base is those of us who stay here have to pay more in taxes because there's all those services that need money.
Right, to make
so
up the difference.
Our tax base goes up for all the people who leave. Is it at panic mode yet, Andy? Are people panicking because of this?
No, it's not panic. People are doing it as time comes, but in their life cycles. But what people need to realize is these are your trade-up and your trade-down buyers who are leaving. Because some of them would stay here and get a condo instead and have a condo down in Florida. Some of them would trade up, okay? And they're leaving. And that's why when you look at the real estate values all across the country, Illinois is close to the bottom right now as far as prices going up. Now, there are specific areas where, you know, you have unbelievable school districts where people are filling in that lower end of the spectrum, and so there's a floor underneath it.
Right.
But, you know, I talked to a couple township assessors recently out in McHenry County, and they're thinking there's going to be a lot more foreclosures and short sales if taxes go up again, and they're expecting taxes to go up.
They will go up again.
So, right, it's all about taxes, huh?
It's all about taxes. You have to be able to pay for food. You have to be able to pay for clothing. And in this state, everybody knows the only protected people are the lawyers and the public unions, and everybody else can go to hell.
Frightening. Andy, thanks. Some very sobering thoughts. We appreciate it. Have a great holiday.
Merry Christmas.
Right. You said 35,000, about 35,000?
Yeah, leaving? Roughly that. I've got a couple of texts that say that. Are you showing different numbers?
Well, no. I was just kind of going through some populations. That's about the size of Northbrook.
Yeah.
That's about the size of St. Charles as well, just up and leaving.
Without the antiques, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
The antiques would stay, which is strange.
Right. We have a lot more calls on this. You can add in at 312-981-7200. As it turns out, you heard it in the news, our population is diminishing and quickly, while all the states around us keep going up. What are we doing wrong and how do we fix it? 312-981-7200. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilek in for Wendy on WGN. Thanks, Judy. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak. Judy's filling in for Wendy. She'll be back next year.
Next year. We'll see her next year.
On the she'll be back on the 30th, Kevin?
Yeah, her that, right? And Jimmy are doing a show on the
30th. Oh, you're working with Wendy on the 30th. Do you know that, Judy?
So funny.
Oh, Kevin's not sure if that's true or not. The headline is this: more people are leaving the state of Illinois than any other state. This according to the U.S. Census Bureau, who counts this sort of thing. We're trying to figure out what we've done wrong and how we can possibly fix this.
You know, we're not trying to figure it out. We know what's wrong.
Well, it is.
It's how do you fix it?
It's tax base. Let me find this one. There was a text that showed, here it is. I bought a home in Tennessee. My taxes there are $800. My taxes in Geneva were $10,000.
I see.
That's not even close.
Yeah, how do you get past
times.
That, right?
Oh,
and
no.
And Tennessee's beautiful.
Tennessee is beautiful. But, I mean,
it's not Chicago.
It's not Chicago. Mm-hmm. I mean, with all due respect to the good people of Tennessee, there's a slight difference in the cultural level.
I mean,
level.
Yeah, if you're sick of paying taxes and you want to go to somewhere like Tennessee, you're going to have to change your lifestyle.
Yeah, yep. All right, all kinds of calls. Let's talk to Brian. Brian, thanks for calling WGN. What do you know about this?
Hey, my plant's going to be closing soon, and within a year, and I'm going to be moving down to my sister's down in San Antonio. And I researched it to the nth degree, and it was like a win in everything I could possibly think of. The only drawback was the heat.
Yeah.
But everything else, taxes, no tollways, the schools were amazing, the roads were awesome, the downtown area is awesome, the whole culture is amazing. It's like, I'm 46, I live out in DeKalb, and my taxes are $5,800 for a third of an acre.
Yeah.
I talked to my sister, she's on an acre, and she pays $520.
Wow.
In taxes.
Wow.
And the schools, my school district that I send my kids to, I have to pay a bunch of fees up front.
Yeah.
And a lot of fees for sports, too. And down there, there's no fees whatsoever. I mean, it's just a win-win. It's just unbelievable. And they can't fill all the jobs down there.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
There's jobs everywhere.
That's interesting what you said, like, about the schools with the fees. It's true. I mean, not only are the taxes outrageous, you have to pay in a public school.
Yeah.
It probably cost me a couple grand for each kid to go to public school every year.
Of course.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too.
Isn't that crazy? Brian, thanks for the call. Have a great holiday.
Hey, thank you. You too.
All right. Almost every summer, my family and I go to Maine. We spend a week in Maine. New Hampshire borders the state, so we go into New Hampshire and we'll shop. We'll get groceries or whatever we need. And there's no state tax. There's no sales tax.
Mm.
And I say to myself, if New Hampshire can pull this off, and they're not the only state. There's a handful of states across the country that just they don't charge sales tax.
Yeah, I think Florida too. I think no.
No, Florida has it.
No food. No tax on food.
There's a category in Florida, but we bought $108 worth of groceries and paid $108. There wasn't the extra.
Isn't that shocking? It wasn't the extra $12.
Right. So how are they doing it? And their roadways are flawless. Their school system is really strong. Everything that you would think, well, something's got to suffer, right? Nope. They're doing it.
Yeah, what's Illinois doing?
Why aren't we
wrong?
Doing it? Let's get another call or two in really quick. Let's go to Katie. Katie, hi. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Thank you. Merry Christmas, everyone. Well, there's several reasons. Number one is the high taxes. Number two is unemployment. Number three is poor management. And I tell you what just really irritates me. Those of us that live in Illinois, our taxes go to support the University of Illinois. And I think when you live in Illinois, you should get a tax break to go there. It should be cheaper for your your student to go.
And it's not.
What they do is, no, the governor should fire the president of the U of I the way he mismanages money down there. But the U of I, they go and court these students in China and Japan and everything because they get a lot of money. When we are supporting and paying for the University of Illinois, we should get first pick, and it shouldn't cost that much.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it's getting ridiculous. We are one of the highest taxes, real estate taxes and taxes in the whole United States. It's ridiculous.
It's awful.
But they're moving to Iowa, Wisconsin, Indiana. Now, that governor of Indiana really turned that state around, and he is really courting. You see commercials out
there. Oh, yeah.
There.
They're
really
very aggressive.
People to go there. Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah.
No doubt about it. All right, well, we appreciate the phone call, Katie. Have a good
Merry
holiday.
Christmas. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people used to go across the border to Wisconsin, but since, you know, that governor, Scott Walker, really tightened the ship up there, especially busting the unions, I don't know that there are that many services that people used to go there for. So,
how about this? How about when we read, I mean, it comes up in the news every couple of weeks about the national average price for gasoline, and we're always paying an extra 35, 40 cents. It's because of all
taxes.
The city, state taxes, and I mean, it all adds up pretty quickly. Several people telling me where they're going and why by way of text. One family talking about Minnesota, about there's no state tax in Minnesota. And they also said you could listen to John Williams there, and you can. Although I think they tax you to listen to John Williams there.
Well, they should, because he is a hot commodity.
He's a powder keg. Let's talk to Chuck. Chuck, hi. You're on WGN.
Yes, just like to make a comment relative to retirement money and pensions. My understanding, and I grabbed an article from Bloomberg, is Illinois, Mississippi, and Pennsylvania are the only three states that cannot tax pensions, 401s, and any deferred income.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's a genius legislator down in Springfield trying to put forth legislation to do exactly that. My opinion, once that happens, you're going to see droves of retirees leaving this state.
I would imagine. Yeah, that seems to make sense. Well, thank you, Chuck. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So, again, if you're just joining us, as it turns out, Illinois, this according to the U.S. Census Bureau, Illinois is now the number one state in terms of people leaving, people who lived here and found other options, sometimes in neighboring states, sometimes other parts of the country, mostly due to taxes, but there's other factors as well. But a whole lot of people are leaving, and that hurts the rest of us because, as we pointed out, then our tax numbers go up just to fill the deficit of the people who have left.
And I hate to tell you, Bill, but Maine was one of those states that also lost population.
Did they really?
Yeah, shockingly.
I wonder why that
is.
It's
the weather.
Is it the weather?
Yeah.
Is it? Well, Maine isn't the one that doesn't do the sales tax.
Oh, it's New Hampshire.
That's New Hampshire.
That's right. It's you cross the border.
15 minutes from where we go, yeah. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show for you, including, speaking of the state of Illinois, some of our driving laws are changing as of January 1st. We want to make sure you know what those new laws are. So stick around. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilek in for Wendy on WGN. As we were saying before, this is like an annual thing in the state of Illinois. There's a bunch of new laws that are enacted that all take place on January the 1st. Many of these laws have to do with driving, so we wanted to keep everybody kind of on top of what they need to know if they're
because the last thing you want to do is go, officer, I didn't know that was a law.
I was always told that ignorance of the law is no excuse, that just because you didn't know something was a law doesn't mean you can't get a ticket. But Jeff Kroll is here to explain exactly what you need to know. He is an attorney over at Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard PC. Jeff, thanks for being here. We really appreciate
it. Thanks for having me. I've gone through that ignorance argument more than once in my life.
Is that true? They taught us that when I was in school, when I was taking driver's ed, that just because you say, I didn't even know that was a law, that doesn't help you, does it?
It doesn't help you with the police officer or your spouse, I can assure you.
In no particular order, by the way.
Absolutely.
All right, so every year we see this. There's a bunch of laws that are passed that all take place with the new year. Is this year about average, or are there more laws or less?
237 new laws on the books for 2016, which is about average. And, you know, from my perspective, I think it's ridiculous how many laws we have. For example, one law that has nothing to do with driving, but one you can use around the Christmas table. The state of Illinois has now adopted pumpkin pie as the official pie.
That was
pie.
A big one, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the big
ones. So let me get this straight. There's no budget, but we have how many laws?
237. Mm-hmm.
They've been busy. They've been busy in Springfield. Yeah.
Jeff, the pumpkin pie law has been highly contested for decades. It's finally solved. Yeah. We have nothing to complain about.
Apple orchards were not happy with that.
I do not like pumpkin pie.
All right, behind the wheel, are the gist of these laws, now you said there's 237 new laws. Are most of them having to do with driving or just a very small percentage?
Just a small percentage. But the one that I really want to bring up and that I think goes back to, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
There's something known as Scott's Law. Scott Gillen was a firefighter who was killed when he was at a stop out on the expressway.
Yeah.
And there are laws in the books that if you see a police officer, fire department, you got to, it's called move over, move lanes.
Move to the right,
move to the left, wherever they are, move to the other lane. And that's been in effect since 2002. They also incorporated garbage trucks.
Mm-hmm.
Now in 2016, recycling trucks are also part of it. So there are studies done that people do not slow down, they don't brake, they don't change laws, they don't change lanes rather when they're approaching recycling vehicles, and more recycling people got killed across the United States last year than firefighters and police officers in these kinds of... Think about it. You know, we kind of laugh about police, but if you see a police officer pulled over, you're braking and getting away from them as far as you can.
Oh, yeah.
With recycling, they're just not doing that.
Is there anything at all, any marking on a recycling truck or van to indicate the fact that you need to do this? I don't know how anyone would know it if we didn't hear it from you.
Well, they've got the flashing lights, and typically whenever you see the flashing lights, you should stop or move over. But people just look at a recycling van as, you know, the redheaded stepsister.
Right,
I don't have to worry about that. It's not a police, it's not fire.
So are they crashing into those trucks, or they're killing the people on the side?
Killing the people on the side.
Okay.
And, you know, they'll walk around the front, they'll walk around the side. No one is changing lanes. You know, to be very blunt with you, you know, in the suburb I live in, I see recycling. I don't move over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm just as guilty as anyone. But now this ignorance isn't a good argument.
What's the fine on something like this after January 1st if you don't follow the rules?
It varies. It can go up to $10,000.
$10,000?
It could be jail time if you kill someone. So slow down. Slow down.
They passed a law a couple of years ago saying that when driving, you can't be texting while you're driving. I hate this because a day doesn't go by that I don't see not just one or two people doing it, but dozens of people doing it. But I've never seen anyone pulled over for it. Is anyone doing anything about this law?
You know, there are certain places. I don't think it's enforced enough, to be candid with you. You know, I've gone by a police car that's screwing around doing the same thing.
Yeah.
So do as I say, not as I do. There are corners here in the city of Chicago where they get stopped religiously for talking on the phone, but not necessarily texting. I defy you to drive down a highway and not see someone texting. Whether it's
constant.
Okay, what about though? I use my phone as a GPS, so is that okay? So I'm on my phone doing things.
I don't think you're allowed to.
No, you're not. You're not.
Okay,
and
so
my wife does the same thing. And
we see, well, I didn't know that. Yeah. Officer, I didn't know.
Yeah, guess what?
Oh, that's funny.
Right.
No, seriously, I thought it was okay. I mean, I'll put it up, I'll get it ready, and I'll like put it on my, what used to be my ashtray, that I don't know what that thing is now.
Yeah.
You know, that little ledge, and then, but sometimes I'm hitting it. You know, because
you can't do that, can you?
No, you can't.
No,
you can't. But everybody does it, and I think if you put it, you know, if it's audio, that will help you, where it tells you you've got, you know, 20 feet, take a right type of thing. That's okay.
Right.
But if you're trying to put in a location while you're driving, that's no different than texting. People drive an average of a half a football field long when they text.
Yeah,
that's, think about that. Think
that's
of all
crazy.
The things that can happen.
In a split second, too. It's so fast.
It's a recipe for disaster.
There was a study, roughly a year ago, where they said it's actually safer. They've done studies to determine it's safer to be driving behind a drunk driver than it is a texting driver. And I believe it.
It's horrible.
Because their speed goes up and down, and they're swerving between lanes. It's terrible.
It's, well, and more people are texting than I think ever before. It's so convenient for people.
Yeah.
And, you know, sadly, we see a lot of deaths where someone's texting. And, you know, we've got a case pending right now where a police officer was texting and struck someone.
Yeah.
And the person was within the crosswalk and doing everything right. And it's sad because that moment of carelessness will cause a lifetime of misery for these people.
It's not worth it.
We put, I'm sure you've seen this, it's been going on for a couple of years now. It says on most of our highways there will be a crawl up on a screen saying how many deaths have occurred during that calendar year. Do we know, is that a deterrent? Are people slowing down? Because you see that number and you think to yourself, boy, is that a high number. I don't want to be up on that board. But is that working, do we know?
I don't think so. I think everybody's. It won't happen to me.
Yeah.
It won't. You know, if I text, I'm still a careful driver.
Right.
It's not me. It's the idiot next to me.
Yeah.
And that's the sad part. Here's a statistic that blows me away. One of the rules that are laws that are coming in, which I think is just almost comical.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2015, Illinois had 5,085 drivers that had four DUIs.
5,085.
Almost half of those are from the Chicagoland area or the six county area, but with the population, you can get that. But four DUIs. And now we're making ways to allow them to drive again.
That was a big controversy in Springfield.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I, you know what? It's funny because when you heard both sides of the argument, you know, you're like, all right, well, this person had four DUIs, but then, you know, and I think you do lose your license for like 5 years. But then they're like, hey, they want to get back into society, they want to get a job, but you're right. Keep going back to that four DUIs.
Four. That's
well. Who's their advocate? Who's helping them out? Saying we got to do something for these people. They've had some bad runs of luck, but we can help them.
Well, there's plenty of people in Springfield advocating their position, and you know I'm not taking a position on this, but four is
four
me.
Too many.
You know, one bad night at the bar kind of thing, Christmas party, two. But when you get to four,
yeah.
and there's 5,000 of them running around our state, yeah. And hey, let's find a way to get them their license back now.
Right.
Yeah. That kind of scares me.
I will
a
say
bit.
There are pretty stringent requirements there that go with that. But yeah, I don't know why they focused on that instead of. There's so many other things. Yeah, why? Whatever lobby they had was very, very good.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
It really would. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. Jeff Kroll is here from Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, PC. If you have any questions, these are the new laws that will all be taking effect on January 1st in terms of driving. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. It's me, Bill Leff. It's her, Judy Pilek, in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. All right, it's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak, who is in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. We're talking about the new car laws that all take place. They all start up on January the 1st. Jeff Kroll is here, an Illinois car accident attorney for Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, PC. There's a way people can get in touch with you, Jeff?
Yes, it's 312-372-1227, and our website is www.salvilaw.com.
We have a lot of people that want to talk to you, but before we get to those phone calls, you and Judy were talking a little bit about I guess you'd call it a problem. Some people don't see it as a problem, but the bike laws and the bike lanes, especially around Chicago, have changed a little bit. It's getting kind of dangerous.
Well, it's become a very pro-bike town.
Yeah.
And it's become a very anti-pedestrian town with these bikers. Because these bikers, I think they're disobeying more stop signs and red lights than anyone. And
but I've never seen a biker. I'm sure it happens, but I've never seen them get pulled over for a ticket. No, it must happen a little bit, doesn't it?
Police will never catch them.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Right. But there's something called dooring, which I'm worried about with these bikers, where someone opens
the crazy.
Door
yep.
and they hit the door and go flying over. It happens.
People
a lot.
Have died. Yeah. Yeah, we've had a couple of deaths from that.
Let's take a couple of phone calls. Jim's been on for quite a while. Hi, Jim. You're on with Jeff Kroll. Go ahead.
Yeah, you guys were talking about the DUI thing, and I'm at a fire department with the ambulance and everything. We just cringe because, you know, with these people with the DUIs, we have to pick up the people that, you know, from the accident. And there was one time where it was an accident where it was a wrong-way driver on an expressway, hit head-on with a car. The guy that was drunk was the one that was in the wrong. He's laying on his front seat snoring, where the other guy's pinned in his car, you know, cut up pretty bad.
Yeah.
And then I was telling your producer that we had a kid at the fire station doing community service, and we asked him, you know, we always ask the kids, what do you guys do to deserve this? Oh, it's my third DUI. He goes, I still got my driver's license. I forgot what it was. It was $4,000 or $5,000 it cost them. You don't know how much that hurt us, you know, with the DUIs. I mean, we see it every day. And if the people that are the DUI, the ones driving DUI, see what the other people, you know, I hate to say it, look like,
right.
or what they cause
yeah.
to that person. You know, I don't know if that would help or not, but it's just, in my personal car, I've called in to the dispatcher where I've seen somebody driving DUI, you know, crossing the roads and, you know, just you know they have to be either on drugs or DUI, one or the other.
So with that said, Jeff, we still have people who say, even though a person has four DUIs, we got to figure out a way to get them back behind the wheel. Doesn't make sense.
I agree with you, but...
No, because they do it again.
Yeah, the lobbying groups are pretty strong in the state of Illinois. You've got a group like MAD who doesn't want these people driving ever again.
Right.
But then you've got people, for example, they no longer can work. And the only way they can get a job is if they can drive to work. So they try to get these. Essentially, what they're encouraging now with this law, and I'm not saying I'm for it or against it. So, Jim, I hear what you're saying, and I couldn't agree more because I see the aftermath. But what they're trying to give them is restrictive licenses. They have that device on their car where they have to blow to make
right.
sure they're not drinking.
Yeah.
And after 5 years, you might get a full license again. But, you know, all it takes is one time. You know, one is too many here. And, you know, all they have to do is drive someone else's car.
Yep.
That's the problem.
That's how you get around it. I appreciate the phone call. Have a great holiday.
And, you know, we're only talking about 5,000 drivers. I mean, I'm sorry, but
right.
in terms
it
of the population,
yeah,
why?
And, but if your family member was one of those that was a victim from one of those 5,000, you'd be banging your fist saying,
right. No,
you know,
I'm saying it's 5,000 drivers. Why are we going
why
to,
are we bending over backwards
exactly.
to make life easier for them?
I mean, this became a law, and, you know, that's what I'm saying. That someone had a real good story to tell a lawmaker to get this passed.
I would think so. I would. Let's talk to Dave really quick. Dave, hi. You're on with Jeff Kroll from Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, PC.
Hey, guys. I just have a general comment to everybody who's listening out there in the world, and I know you have people around the world listening. Don't text and drive. 5 months ago, I was almost killed by someone who was texting and driving on a Sunday morning at 7:30 and ran a red light and T-boned my car doing 70 miles an hour. Now, I saw it coming, so I swerved out of the way so it wasn't an immediate impact. But, you know, this woman would be in jail right now for murder if I didn't see it. And she was just... texting home, seeing if anybody wanted anything from McDonald's.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's ridiculous. And I'm like on this crusade now, and I live out in the Elgin, Dundee area, Randall Road, and every day, I wish I was a cop. I could write 35 tickets a day from people texting.
I know there's a deficit in terms of budget. That's where you make
up
your money.
Why aren't they writing tickets?
It's a law.
No, zero enforcement.
Is it because it's so hard to prove, Jeff?
Well, it is.
It can't be hard to prove. You've got the record of when they've made their texts, right?
It's
well,
easy.
This intersection had cameras too, so it was very easy. I mean, the guy behind her, three witnesses signed a police report. The guy behind her said she didn't even put on her brake lights. She ran through me like a freight train.
People see the police car and they slow down. They drop their phone. They do everything. These unmarked cars would you put one unmarked car on a highway and they can fill their quota for
right.
the
just
for
in a minute intersection. You know, they do these things for the seatbelts all the time. You see the undercover cop sitting on a bridge and then he radios the guy a block and a half away. But they should do the same thing for Route 72.
It's a good idea.
There. You'll be right. Yeah. You know, Milwaukee Avenue, you know, you name a city, Washington, down in the city, you name it. They'll be writing tickets, and then we get a big one too. Not $50, make it $300, mm-hmm. so that people don't you know think about this because it doesn't happen at rush hour. It happens like at 7 o'clock in the morning on a country road.
Oh, it's constant.
Nobody's out there because nobody's thinking anything's going to happen.
I know.
Now, a deer could have run out. A kid could have come out on a bicycle. Motorcyclist. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Dave, I live.
That's my comment.
I live two doors away from a school, and I see people texting as the kids are walking out of school and walking their dogs.
That is a big fine.
That should be beyond a fine. That should be beyond.
You're right.
A fine.
It should.
Dave, I'm glad.
Absolutely.
I got to try to get another call in or two, but we're glad you're okay. We really are.
You know, I survived. I had a broken fibula bone, and you know, things happen. But this is like malicious intent. It wasn't wasn't an accident on a snowy road. She was texting, and she shouldn't have been. It's a law.
Happens all the time now. It's awful. Dave, thank you. Take care.
Yep.
Let's get another law in or two, Jeff, really quick before we let you go. These are all laws that will be taking place as of January the 1st. What else do we need to know?
This is not as much a safety law as it is. It's going to hit your pocketbook more or less.
Oh, yay. Merry Christmas.
You know, more and more people are driving these electric cars.
Right.
To Teslas or what have you. There's certain designated parking spots for these cars. You're now going to get hit with fines if you park in one of those vehicles. spots. And it starts at $75 and it can go up. And you think $75, but it adds up.
Oh, sure it does. Now, this is both in parking lots, parking garages, and on the street as well, right?
Correct, because they have designated spots.
And it's going to be a sign saying electric car parking only?
Correct. And because they've had the signs up and no one is obeying them.
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Yeah. You see them more in shopping malls and shopping centers. And, you know, where you see them often are on these highways where people can recharge their vehicle and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're more and more. There's a lot of them out there right now.
It's good for the environment.
It is good for the environment.
I know. I used to pretend I was pregnant, but I'm not going to be able to get away with that one.
You're supposed to wear the pillow on the inside of your shirt, Judy. You're doing it wrong.
Just like out in the store, and then it was fine.
I don't even know how to respond to that.
You don't need to. You're too smart for that, Jeff. Jeff Kroll is an Illinois car accident attorney for Salvi, Shostak, and Pritchard, PC. If you want to reach Jeff, there's a couple ways to do it. How do they do it?
Phone is 312-372-1227. My email is jkroll, K-R-O-L-L, at salvilaw.com. You know, everybody, I just want to wish everybody a happy and safe holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2016, you know, if you Google some of these laws, ignorance is not a defense.
Nope.
So
we've established that.
And there's over 250. It's a good idea to Google those laws and see every one of them.
And, no doubt. And buy pumpkin pie.
Yeah, the official pie of the state of Illinois.
Pumpkin Absolutely. Pie.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a great holiday. Thanks, More after Jeff. This, it's Bill Leff and Judy Pilek in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's time to talk about vaping. It's a fairly new activity. It's the new smoking. It's the smoking for the new era. Is it healthy for you? Is it less healthy or more healthy than smoking? Dr. Julie Morita joins us, the Chicago Department of Public Health's commissioner. Mayor Emanuel is really making vaping a whole new thing in the city of Chicago. We'll now find out everything we need to know. How are you, Dr. Morita? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
All right. Vaping, for people who don't know, because it is fairly new, it's only come about in the last couple of years, is what exactly?
So vaping is, it looks like a cigarette. The devices often look like a cigarette, but what it does is it aerosolizes a liquid that contains things like flavors, but also it contains nicotine. And so people use it kind of like people use cigarettes, only they're not burning anything.
Is it the same as, I keep hearing the phrase, e-cigarettes? Is vaping and e-cigarettes one and the same?
Well, so vaping is a broader category. They have vape pens, vape mods, they have e-hookahs, and then they have e-cigarettes. So vaping is just a broader category.
And now, I know there's this big backlash on vaping, and oh my gosh, so many new vaping, what? Places, palaces, vaping stores, whatever they're called. I guess you just go there to vape and buy your stuff. They seem to, a lot of these places advertise that they want to help you quit smoking. Come vape, quit smoking.
Right, so these products have not been found. There's not evidence out there that suggests that they are effective tools for smoking cessation. And so they're not considered those devices, so they're actually not regulated by the FDA. And so there's a wide range of nicotine content in them and other chemicals that are included in them. And I think that's the point of our campaign. The campaign is to raise awareness about the fact that using vaping actually causes addiction to nicotine, because most of the fluids that are used actually have nicotine in them. And in addition to them, they have chemicals in them. And so there's things like formaldehyde or acetaldehyde, which we know can be carcinogens and cause cancer. So we want people to be aware of that, because they're not regulated like drugs are.
Well, then how legally are they getting away with saying to people this is a healthier alternative to smoking based on everything you just said? It seems to be wrong.
I think this is what we're experiencing now with vaping and e-cigarettes is much like what was done in the 50s with regular cigarettes. They were really glamorized, and they were made to look like something very desirable and sexy, and so people wanted to use them. And so there's similar type of tactics that are being used with the vaping products as well. And so that's why we wanted to have our campaign out there to combat or kind of dispel some of those myths.
We're talking to Dr. Julie Morita, the Chicago Department of Public Health's commissioner. Years ago, Julie, they changed the laws in terms of where you could and could not smoke. It's very, very difficult to find a place now, a restaurant, a hotel lobby, on and on and on, where smoking is legal. How does this react to vaping or e-cigarettes? Is it such where anywhere you can't smoke a regular cigarette, you also can't vape or smoke an e-cigarette, or are the rules different?
so that's a great question. I think what Mayor Emanuel's been a real strong advocate for is creating a generation of tobacco-free kids. And so we've done some things in terms of limiting the availability of menthol products or flavored tobacco near schools. And we've also added e-cigarettes to the Clean Indoor Air Act. So what it does is it prohibits the use of e-cigarettes or vaping products any place a regular cigarette is prohibited from being used. So when you think back to years ago when you'd walk into any restaurant or any bar and you'd see a cloud of tobacco.
Right.
We no longer see that, and that's because of the Clean Indoor Air Act. And now we all appreciate that and value that. And fortunately, last year, the mayor included e-cigarettes in that as well. And so the e-cigarettes are not allowed, and vaping products are not allowed in public places as well.
Okay, and so just so we're clear, so someone who doesn't smoke cigarettes, you know, you want to make sure they understand that smoking, you know, doing vaping, not smoking, so vaping, it's still nicotine. So
Right. You
could still get hooked, even though you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes, I'll vape instead.
That's right. And I think that's part of our concern is that we've made huge progress in terms of reducing the number of young people that are actually smoking. So it's about 1 in 10 young people are actually smoking tobacco, regular cigarettes. But it was this, what we've seen in the past few years is that the rate of young people taking up e-cigarettes and vaping has really increased. It's tripled from 2013 to 2014. And we don't want to see a bunch of young people getting addicted to nicotine and then moving from e-cigarettes or vaping into regular tobacco products. So this is another reason that we're really pushing to make sure that people are aware of the risks associated with vaping.
So would you say, is it safe to assume, Julie, that your average kid who's right on the fence about smoking, they perceive smoking based on everything that we know to be bad, but somehow, some way, they figure out, but if I'm vaping or smoking an e-cigarette, I'll escape a lot of the pitfalls of regular smoking. Is that what they're assuming?
Yes, there's a lot of misperception out there, actually. I mean, I think commonly I talk to teenagers or kids that are in college, and they ask the question, well, why would you worry about vaping? It's safer than cigarettes. It may be safer in that we're not smoking tobacco, but there still are bad things that nicotine does. It's addictive. It also affects brain development. We know there's other chemicals that are included in vaping products as well, which can cause irritation to the lungs, cause cancer down the line. So they're not risk-free.
Plus, I would think for people who smoke cigarettes and, you know, now they can vape inside. So if they say they can't vape, you know, I mean, can't smoke somewhere, like, say, a hotel room, well, but they can vape inside and they're actually even smoking more. They're using more nicotine.
But see, that's where the vaping actually isn't allowed either. So anywhere a cigarette's not allowed, vaping is not allowed as well.
Good.
So that's a positive. We're actually fortunate that we have that law in place now.
I don't know if this is too new. I guess I'm getting a couple of texts saying that e-cigarettes have been around for 6 or 7 years now, which is longer than I had anticipated. I don't know if the data's here for you to even answer this properly, but is the progression of cancer the same with vaping or e-cigarettes as they are with standard cigarettes?
So we don't have that kind of information because even though they've been around for that long, it's still not long enough to know for sure. But I think what we do is because we don't have a lot of long-term data on the risks associated with it, our question to the public and to young people who are contemplating using it is why take the risk when we know there are risks, definite risks associated with vaping, like nicotine addiction, brain development problems, chemicals that can cause cancer in them. We know those risks exist, so why take the chance? Why take the risk?
This has come up on the show once or twice, Julie, and who better to ask than you? Is the tobacco lobby still so strong that with all we know about cigarettes and the terrible, terrible damage that they do, they're still readily available? I guess they're harder, and I guess the taxes are higher, but it's not really prohibiting people from using them. Is it amazing to you that cigarettes are still as popular as they are? I know the numbers have gone down, but all across the board, from e-cigarettes to vaping to cigarettes, doesn't it shock you that it's still a factor in our society?
I mean, I guess I believe it. I mean, I guess I'm not shocked, but I also feel like I'm heartened by the fact that we have made progress. When you look at the numbers of people that are smoking, both adults and youth, the numbers are coming down. So our approaches are effective. It's hard to combat big tobacco, who has millions and billions of dollars available for advertising and for marketing, and we have hundreds of thousands at best. So it's hard to combat that. But we are doing it, and we're doing it with good, safe policies like the Clean Indoor Air Act. increasing taxes on the tobacco products so we make it less accessible, making sure that these products aren't sold around youth because we don't want young people to pick up the habit. And so even though there are people that continue to smoke and to vape, our efforts are in place to help us to drive those numbers down, and we are seeing progress.
Okay, doctor, so we're about to embark on a new year, a lot of New Year's resolutions. I think there will be a lot of people out there who will want to quit smoking. What is the single best thing they can do to quit smoking?
I think I don't know that there's one single best solution for anyone. I think what we have to do is people have to be committed. They have to work with their healthcare providers to find out what solution works best for them, but do it in a way that's been proven to be effective. E-cigarettes have not been demonstrated to be effective cessation devices. And then also to get the support that they need, because sometimes you need more than just medication. You may need more than medical care. Sometimes you need support systems in place to help to get through these kinds of transitions in your life.
Julie, there's some calls, some people that want to talk to you. We're at 312-981-7200. Do you have a minute or two? Are you okay to take a
sure.
few calls? All right. Let's start out with Mike. Mike, hi. You're on with Dr. Julie Morita, the Chicago Department of Public Health's commissioner. Go ahead.
Hi, doctor. Just a couple of quick comments. First observation is that, and let me preface this by saying I'm a former nicotine user. I quit smoking 35 years ago. But as an adult, if I chose to use nicotine, it's a legal drug, number one. Number two, if I chose to use nicotine, I would choose it in the form of vaping, primarily because while there may be formaldehyde and maybe another one or two items in there that I'm not aware of in terms of the vaping, it certainly is nowhere near the 3,000-plus chemicals that you ingest when you burn and puff on tobacco that you get in cigarettes. I mean, so there's no comparison to the level of danger or risk or whatever.
Congratulations to you for
that needs to be on the table.
Yeah, so congratulations to you for stopping so many years ago. I think our point is we're not prohibiting the use of these products, but we want people to be informed about the risks associated with it, because I think there's a sense that these products are safe. And because there's nicotine in them, because there's chemicals and carcinogens in them, we want people to be aware of that.
Part of our effort is really to make that information. There are absolutely zero carcinogens that have been identified other than what risks there might be with nicotine and vaping. I mean, I just don't think that's fact.
So we have a number of efforts in addition to billboards and information on railways and social media. We have a social media effort which is labeled hashtag Vaping Truth, and in that effort we'll be tweeting and posting social media posts that link to scientific data and evidence that exists so that people make informed decisions. We don't want people to go out there believing that e-cigarettes or vaping are risk-free. And so our goal really is to make sure people understand that there are risks associated with them.
Dr. Brina, secondhand smoke was always a major factor in terms of regular cigarettes. Is there an equivalent of secondhand smoke when it comes to vaping or e-cigarettes?
Sure, because we know that there are chemicals that are in the vapor that people blow out when they're using vape products. There is potentially a problem with it having health effects to those people that are surrounding. So there is that concern as well.
There is. Years ago, they kind of clamped down on the tobacco companies, the cigarette companies marketing towards kids. That was the Joe Camel era of looking at a cigarette company and saying, hey, point blank, you're directing your ads at kids. You're trying to get kids to smoke. Are they doing that with vaping and e-cigarettes? Are the companies going after teenagers directly?
Well, I think that there is that belief that these products are being marketed toward young people because the flavors that they have created are things that appeal to young people, so their fruit flavor and their candy flavor. And so those approaches, the goal does seem to be targeted for youth to become users of these products so that they become addicted to the nicotine and then potentially become users of traditional tobacco products.
You know, it seems like it's just such a big business, though, because these vaping places are popping up
everywhere. Yeah.
It's true. We see them all over. I was just driving down the street with my daughter, and we saw one as we were driving home.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like, you know, sometimes you drive by little strip malls and stuff where you didn't notice things, but I see all, you know, because they're always brightly lit.
Sure.
Vape. vape here, vaping, and it looks like such a fun place to go.
But you know what's a harder sell is the days of looking cool like James Dean with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth or Humphrey Bogart. You can't sell somebody on the cool look.
I think
look
people
of...
look embarrassed now when they smoke.
Yeah, in
public. It's, people just don't do it anymore, so yay
That's
for us.
We're hoping, we're hoping that people see through that and don't fall prey to the appearance that it's a cool thing to do.
Dr. Morita, here's a text that's a good one. I'm a smoker of 2 packs per day. Isn't it better for me to be using e-cigarettes as opposed to a standard cigarette? Probably better, but still no day at the beach. It's still not good news, is it?
Right, so I think what we're saying is that we know that there are known risks associated with cigarettes. We know much less about e-cigarettes and vaping, but we do know, even though we know less about it, we do know there are risks associated with the nicotine and addiction and also the chemicals that are in the solutions that are used as well.
Sure, absolutely. Dr. Morita, we appreciate you being here and enlightening us a bit about the vaping and the e-cigarettes. Really doing. Congratulations on the new job. You're doing fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much, Bill.
And have a good new year.
Have a good new year.
You too. Thanks so much.
All right. That's Dr. Julie Morita, the Chicago Department of Public Health's commissioner, telling us whatever we need to know about vaping and e-cigarettes. If you want to know more, go to cityofchicago.org. You'll find more information there. We're going to take a quick break and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy on WGN. Thanks to everybody who called in and have texted in as we talked to Dr. Julie Morita about the pitfalls of vaping. It's not as safe as you might think it is. Although, if you look at the text line, I would say roughly a quarter of the texts are people defending the art of vaping, saying, I used to smoke. It's much better for me now. Don't badmouth vaping. But neither of them are healthy.
No, but I guess we had that one caller who I don't think we put him on actually, but he had a good point. It is the It is the lesser of two evils, but it's still an evil.
Right.
The lesser of two evils. So just, and you know, Dr. Morita was just saying it's legal, of course.
It is.
But yeah, think about it before you do it because we don't know yet.
Right.
What kind of problems it's going to cause.
I'm seeing.
Just like in the 40s and 50s when everyone was smoking. Oh, you know. Well, it's great for you.
The funniest thing about that is the tobacco companies at the time, even though they knew that it was addictive, were going all out to explain that it was not addictive. But, you know, science proved otherwise.
Right, and they're paying dearly for that
right
now.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they definitely are. Also, a lot of people telling me that I talked about the marketing campaign of Joe Camel. They say that's still going on to an extent in vaping, that they have cotton candy aroma and tasting. What do you call them if you're vaping? Are those called vapes? I don't speak the language.
Well, they're different flavors.
But what is it? What do you call
it's
the cigarette itself?
Oh, the vaping, I don't know. It's a vaporizer.
Is that a vaporizer? I think we're using
it. Because I think you'd like to have one of those if it was a vaporizer. I'm going to vaporize you. No, it's, I don't know. What is it called, Kevin?
Is that just called an e-cigarette?
There's an e-cigarette, but a vapor, it's this intricate thing that you have to unscrew and put liquid in it.
Yeah.
And screw it back.
No, that's the liquid holder.
The liquid holder, Kevin says. I'm not sure he's right,
Kevin,
though.
Kevin, look at he doesn't know.
I'm glad he doesn't know.
We could be cooler than Kevin right now. Wait, it's called, you know what? It's the vaporer.
I'm not a vapor guy.
It's a vaporer.
Is that what it is?
No, it's called something. Wait, I bet it's in here.
It's in there. We'll find it.
It's going to drive me crazy.
We have to do news in just a little bit. Steve has the news, and then just a little bit more before the show ends. It's me and Judy in for Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilak in for the vacationing Wendy Snyder. We now have come to accept the fact that it will not be a white Christmas. But being this warm is not a bad thing, is it?
No, it's not. I mean, if you can have snow, then sun is good. We don't really have sun, but
at least it's warm. It's not your traditional 15 or 20 degrees.
You can probably keep your back door open while you're having your Christmas dinner.
Yep. I'm keeping my back door open. You convinced me. That's the way to be, Jude.
All right. I'm thinking, do I have a back door? Yeah, I do.
Now, do you mean on your house or apartment, or do you mean your Dennis the Menace style pajamas? Because you always had that flap open.
Well, if you do keep that open, you should be warm.
Yes, you should.
Yeah, that should be fine.
That's so true. All right. 2016 is going to be upon us in just over a week. It's my last show for the year. I've done this in the past. I always like to get kind of a beat on what the listeners are thinking when it comes to this. With just a week left in 2015 and the new year quickly approaching, what is the one thing or things that you want to see go away for 2016? Is there a thing? Is there a person? Is there a concept or an idea that you just think, enough of this already? We got a new year starting. Bye-bye. Let's start over. We don't need this anymore. Mm-hmm. What's that one thing or things for you with the new year? Where do you want to start over with? Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. Tell us what those things are, and we'll do our best. Between Judy and myself and Steve, we know some pretty important people.
Right.
I'm sure we could get this done for you.
Oh, you know what? One just walked by.
What was it?
The man bun.
Oh, you don't want any more man buns in 2016?
I'm done with the man bun. I don't mind it, but I'm done seeing it.
Kevin's with you all
the
way.
Worst.
Is it? Well, I mean, some of those buns are better than buns I could put in my hair.
And then it's real bad when they don't maintain the sides, so you kind of get like the fuzzy head on the side, and then it just looks all sorts of weird.
Yeah, if you're going to do a bun, it better be sleek.
Now, here's what I read yesterday, and I didn't even know this was an option. Apparently, guys are getting what women have had, extensions in their hair, but they're doing a fake bun.
Stop it.
To make themselves look hipper or more cool.
So now when I see a man bun walking down the street, I'm going to have to go pull it out to see if it's real.
Right. From now on, it's your job, Judy.
How many times do you think I'll be able to do that before I get decked?
One.
And you know what else? They're moving up the head more. So now I see some guys, they have, it's like...
It's right in the center of their head.
Yeah, I mean, because the bun should be in the back of your head. It's on top of their head.
A man should not look like Pebbles Flintstone. Are we in agreement about
that's
that?
Exactly.
No guy should look like Pebbles Flintstone under any circumstances. All right, we're getting a lot of texts. We're getting a lot of phone calls. My prediction as I was announcing this little contest, my prediction is that everybody would say Donald Trump. I'm wrong. Only half of you, by way of text so far, have said Donald Trump. I was off by roughly half, but the Trump ones are coming in fast and furious. Let's go to the phones. Let's get a couple of your opinions. Again, if you're just joining us, what do you want to go away for 2016? You've had your fill of it enough already. With what? Give us a call or a text. Let's start out with Ron. Hey, Ron, how are you?
Hi, Ron.
Hey, I'm sorry. What I'm tired of hearing about and I don't want to hear any more about is anything to do with the Kardashians.
Bye-bye.
Caitlyn Jenner, the whole shebang, I'm done with them.
All of them.
So anything having to do, anything in the world of Kardashian, you're done with. No more.
What have they contributed to society?
Nothing.
And that that includes the babies, everything. Kanye, you're done. You're all done. Bye-bye.
All right. Well,
I'm done.
Thank you, Ron. Let's hope that happens.
Fat chance. It'll never happen.
So you, when one of the Kardashians has a baby, you won't want to know the first name and the middle name and why they chose it and what the alternative names were?
You know what? When the princess of, the Duchess of what?
York?
Is that her title?
I don't know which duchess you're referring to.
I can't think of her name right now, but the next, the princess. Princess and the next king of England.
Your Princess Kate, you mean?
Thank you. Okay. When they have a baby, I do want to see it, and I do want to know.
You want to see pictures of it?
Because they seem like such nice people, and I just, they're royalty. But the Kardashians?
But don't you find with pictures of celebrity babies, they all look the same. Every baby looks the same, kind of. There's a little bit more of this or a little bit less of that. But every time I see a celebrity baby picture, I go,
all
right.
Let me fill you in. Every baby looks
the same.
Every baby looks the same.
You know, Mike Toomey, who does the WGN TV morning news, he says every baby looks like Don Zimmer. He's right.
and they all have blue eyes.
Right. A slightly better looking than Don Zimmer. Easily half of your texts are mentioning Donald Trump with begs and pleas that he go away. Miley
Cyrus.
If
he had a man bun, maybe, but he can't pull that off.
No, I think he could.
That would be something.
It would be.
Now I'm envisioning it, and you might get some votes for that.
A fuzzy looking man bun. Bruce Jenner is getting a lot. Now Caitlyn Jenner also getting a lot of texts. Miley Cyrus getting a share.
She's so 2014.
All the Justin Bieber ones just say Bieber. I'm guessing it's Justin Bieber, but they all just say it's just Bieber. That's it. Here's one from 773. Star Wars. I can't stand it. Now, I have to admit, I'm a big fan of Star Wars, but there has been some oversaturation.
Enough already.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of it.
And if I hear one more time someone go, I haven't seen it yet, don't say anything. What? Is it world peace? They're giving us the clue of what? What? It's Star Wars.
All right, that one I'm going to defend. Here's why. There's a couple things that happen in the movie that if you know them going in, it will hurt your experience in seeing the film. So I'm one of those people.
I'm going to see the film and not know what those are, right?
You won't hear them from me. I won't tell you.
No, I'm not even going to know it's with something important because I don't know Star Wars. So I'm going to let the cat out of the bag and be like, whoops, sorry.
Cause... It won't affect you as much if you're not steeped in the lore of it. It won't really bother you that much. But I know, like, there's a thing or two in the movie that if I had known going in, it wouldn't have been as exciting to watch.
Mm, okay.
So I've been one of those people that if somebody goes, oh, how about that scene where I'm one of those people who goes, no. I pull out a fire extinguisher and I start spraying the person.
I'm going to be one of those people who doesn't even know that scene. I'll just be like, how about that movie overall?
Judy, I know it's radio and people can't see this photograph, but somebody has texted us a picture of Donald Trump with a man bun.
Oh, I have to see it. Hold on.
I don't know how they did that.
How does he look? Is it on the side because he puts his hair over to the side?
No, it's not a comb over. It's right there in the middle.
Is that a comb over bun?
No. We'll get it up on our Facebook page if that's possible, if I can transfer this over to Facebook. Here's the picture just for you. Can you see this really quick? And then you can explain to people. Thank you, 630.
He looks like an old lady.
For sending us that frightening picture.
It's so funny.
Dale has one he would like to throw in. Dale, what is the one thing, the concept, the idea, the person, the club, the group that you just are fed up with, you don't want to have happen in 2016?
I'm tired. I'm calling from Madison, Wisconsin. That never miss your show.
Thank you.
The word awesome.
Awesome!
I'm so tired of that. Everybody uses it for everything, and it's just inappropriate.
It's
anymore.
Watered down, isn't it, Dale? Yeah. Awesome means spectacular, the kind of thing you might see once in a lifetime, but everybody describes everything as awesome now.
Right.
You know, this car is awesome, and then my, you know, I got a flat tire. Oh, that's awesome, you know.
This idea is awesome, actually.
Thanks, Kevin.
But it is even worse. It's like, oh, I moved your pen. Awesome!
Yeah. I do have a cure for your throat, by the way.
What is it?
Vicodin and Johnny Walker Black.
All right, Dale, I'll mix those up.
You know what,
up.
Dale, I got to tell you, that is awesome.
It works for me. Trust me.
All right, half Vicodin and half Johnny Walker. All right, we'll see what happens. Thank you so much.
You probably won't feel anything, Bill.
I appreciate your show. You're extremely funny.
Thank you, Dale. Have a great holiday, a great new year.
You too, sir.
Bye. I've told this story. I'll just tell a very quick version. My family and I were at a restaurant. They asked us what we wanted to drink. We went around the table. Reese said what she wanted. Kylie said what she wanted. My wife said, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go with water, to which our waiter said, awesome. And he walked away and we all looked at each other and we went, his threshold for awesome is a lot different from what ours is.
Oh, yeah. Those are waiters who try too hard.
I guess. All right. What is the one thing or things that you want to go away? 2016 is just about a week away. You have the power to make it stop. Who will it be or what will it be? Give us a call or a text at 312-981-7200. We'll get to those calls and texts in just a minute. It's Bill F. and Judy Pilak in for Wendy Snyder on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Judy Pilak who's in for Wendy Snyder. It's fun working with you, by the way, all week.
You too.
This was a lot of fun,
Judy.
This was
awesome.
You're upsetting people now with
the
awesome.
Especially the guy in Madison. Please keep listening. Yep. I won't be here much longer.
we asked the question a little while ago. What's the one thing? What's the one concept? What's the one idea? What's the one person that you want to go away for 2016? You've had your fill of them. You would love to have a new year start without this thing in your life anymore. It started out about half of them were saying Donald Trump. That has dissipated. It's now about 35-40%. So I guess we're making progress there. I'll read you some of the other texts. And if you want to call in or text in, you can at 312-981-7200. 312 says assault weapons. Yeah, that one makes sense. 219 says war. I'm guessing they mean the concept of war and not the song. What is it good for, Judy?
Absolutely nothing.
So true. Many people are saying Taylor Swift.
Why?
I didn't see that coming.
I think she's kind of faded into the background a little bit already.
She'll have like an up month or a down month, and then I don't know if it's because they've released a new song or new video, or there's a music award show that she's dancing at, but she keeps like bouncing in and out of prominence.
No, she doesn't bug me that
much. I know I'm not in her target audience, but I kind of like Taylor Swift, I have to say. This one's Trump, that one's Trump. Obama and his politics is mentioned.
Well, he's about to go away.
He's had a couple of votes.
Getting your wish.
Hillary Clinton has had more than her share of votes. 847 says Obamacare. 872 says, we cannot have any more bicycle lanes. We mentioned that earlier on the show.
That was Jeff. He texted that in. Jeff's a lawyer.
Right. It's becoming more and more difficult to drive or walk downtown because of the bicycle lanes. I know what they're doing is a good thing, but it seems to bite us sometimes.
It seems a little haphazard.
Sometimes it does.
Yeah, and obviously they've thought it through, but I don't know how it'll all shake out. You know what I would like to see go away?
I would love to know.
Would you? Because I would love to see know-it-alls go away.
Oh.
I can't.
You're fed up with the know-it-alls. Give us a situation. Did something happen?
No, just people who just blah, blah, blah. They just know everything
right.
And tell you what you should and shouldn't do. And yeah, get over yourself.
All right. No more know-it-alls.
Get over me.
All right.
Get past me if you can.
I don't think people can, Jude. Michael's on the line. Michael, go ahead. What is it you're fed up with, you're tired with, you don't want to have this anymore in the new year?
Lying politician. But
that will never happen.
We live in the state that I think produces more of them. I think our gross national product here in the state of Illinois is lying politicians.
Huge.
You're going to have a very hard time getting rid of those. You realize that?
That's across the board, not just Illinois, but across all political entities.
Yep. All right. Well, good luck, Michael. I hope that comes true for you. I really do.
For all of us.
Take care.
Happy holidays, guys.
You too.
You
thanks.
Too.
Here's one. This is also from 847. I'm tired of people describing everything, that's in all caps, as being epic. That's something that's happened a little bit more often, that people just, I don't know when that word became as prominent as it is, but everybody, well, not everybody, but a good share of people will call something that isn't even close to being epic.
Can I toss in another word
absolutely.
That's gotten worn out?
Absolutely.
Unprecedented.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Or you're in the news business, and I see, I'm not blaming you, I'm not blaming this on you at all, but people will say we have an exclusive, and it's never an exclusive.
Oh, no, the worst, breaking news.
Breaking news.
It's on the scroll the entire time. It's like that news broke about 19 hours ago.
So
how is it still breaking news?
Why is that standard? What happened? I know they want to give the illusion of immediacy. Yeah. This just happened.
Right. It's marketing.
Just happened. It's still happening. You can only see it here.
Isn't that crazy?
It's just cheap marketing.
They
pay people
for that.
Yep. Let's talk to Susan. Susan, do you have one of these, a concept, an idea, a person, place, or thing that you're fed up with no more in 2016?
Well, and I'm 65 years old, soon to be 66.
Congrats.
And my whole life. They seem like they, well, not really, but they seem like we have been involved in the Middle East, whether it was Afghanistan was way back in Osama bin Laden. Now it's ISIS or whatever you call it. What's the difference between ISIS and the other one? I can't think. But we've spent so much money in Pakistan, Afghanistan, the Middle East, and for what? They still hate us. There's new people that hate us. And we've spent all the money that should be going towards the people in America. And right now we need this money in America.
Yep. So true. There has always been a conflict in the Middle East since biblical times.
Yes.
Something's been going on in the Middle East. Clear it up.
And especially since Israel got there. So, yeah, I mean, that's never going to happen either.
Donna, you have one?
I don't like it when I go to a store and I buy something and the clerk says, no problem.
Then you should create one.
Right. You want a problem? I got a problem.
I'll give you a problem.
I know it's not a problem. You know, so that's it. And I just want to say I've enjoyed listening to you guys and Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Donna. Have a great holiday. Somebody earlier texted, they want to know why you and I keep saying, or actually it's more me, I don't know, you keep saying Happy New Year, but they say, why are you guys afraid to say Merry Christmas? You keep saying Happy Holidays.
I just said Merry Christmas.
I heard you say it. I say it because it's more encompassing.
Yeah.
Right? I love Christmas, but if you say Happy Holidays, it just seems to be a bigger umbrella that includes
because
everything.
You can't say Merry Christmas to people who don't celebrate Christmas. It's just dumb.
I don't know. I get away. Every once in a while, I'll interchange it and say Merry Christmas, but you know, either one works. This person at 630 is tired of the Black Lives Matter campaign.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
Because Black Lives do matter.
They do.
But I get it. I get what they're saying. It's
Well, the people on the flip side of that coin say all lives matter, and they do. but in lieu of what's happened.
You know what they're tired of?
And how it's happened.
They're tired of hearing it's
gotta,
do something already.
It's got to be, you know, people have to remember the Black Lives Matter thing has to be put into an historical context.
Sure.
And if you look at the history of the country, there is a certain long-standing thing that's between primarily white law enforcement officers and Black people.
Yeah.
And it hasn't always been particularly pleasant or particularly nice.
Right.
So saying all lives matter and, you know, that's more important. No, actually, it's not.
Well, that's a given. All lives matter is a given. Mm-hmm. That comes with the outfit that you just bought. We know that all lives matter, but because of what's happened of late,
sometimes
it needs to be a reminder.
Exactly.
Right?
It needs to be out there.
815 says Mike Madigan. Sorry, Mike, if you're listening. Or he was listening until just a second ago.
I'd like to see more of him, not less of him, because we do need a budget.
Right.
Hey, Mike, can you call us? We'd love to talk to you about where things go, are standing right now.
We can do that. All right, let's do this. Thanks, everybody, for calling in and texting in. We'll do our best between us to make all the things that you want to go away in 2016 go away. We'll get on that immediately, I promise.
And you better have a Merry Christmas.
You better have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday season. All right, a quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next. Stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and Judy Pilek in for the Vacationing Wendy Snyder on WGN.